Continuation of our budget hearings, contributions to outside agencies. It's nice to have you all here this morning. And I'd like to begin the morning's proceedings with a salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alrighty, two quick announcements. There are hearing devices available on each side of the podium, and I'll remind everyone, when you come to the podium, there's no need to touch the microphone. It will pick you up wherever you're standing behind the podium there. The second announcement pertains to this afternoon. It's just a reminder that protest forms for the Tourism Marketing District hearing must be turned into the clerk prior to the start of the hearing, which begins at 1:30 this afternoon. And with that, we'll go move into our hearings and ask for a staff presentation.
Yes. Good morning. Dan Buckshy from the County Administrative Office. Just to briefly outline the morning, Ms. Emily Jackson will provide a very brief overview of the changes that were adopted by your board on Monday relative to the recommended budget.
Part to the prudent policies laid out by the board that were then adhered to, and so we certainly appreciate that. In addition to that, departments obviously need to be recognized. There's an awful lot of work that goes into putting together the budget document. All departments had to make some pretty difficult decisions during the downturn, and now that we're slowly growing our budget, they're also being patient with us, which we certainly appreciate. And then last but not least, I need to acknowledge the auditor's office. They're a good partner every year, and then our office as well. Staff in our office puts a tremendous amount of work into not only the numbers, but to producing a budget document that's readable and understandable and really communicates what we do and why we do it and the importance of it. So I just wanted to thank everybody for their participation in that. So on Monday, the auditor's office has provided a memo that summarizes what happened. Of course, your board made allocation of general fund contingencies in the amount of $315,359, that was the $200,000 allocation to the Hot House, the increased allocation, of course, to the History Center, and then as well the approval of a SUPDOC item, which had been approved earlier in April for the reorganization of the Capital Projects Office within General Services, and that new position is funded, of course, out of contingencies since it wasn't included in the overall budget. In case there are any questions, the memo from the auditor's office details that overall governmental fund appropriations decreased by just $2.8 million. And I just want to clarify that because it's a big number. That was something that was included in the supplemental document that relates to the recategorization of capital and maintenance projects. And so this is the dollar amount simply represents a way that capital and maintenance projects are accounted for. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Nikki Schmidt, who is going to provide the staff presentation for contributions to outside agencies.
Thank you.
Good morning. I am Nikki Schmidt of the County Administrative Office. And as Emily said, I am here to present the budget for Fund Center 106, contributions to other agencies. The recommended $1.6 million budget will be used to fund district community project funds, community-based organizations, preventive health grant, and other miscellaneous type grants. In addition, this funding level does include $50,000 of unallocated funds. Funding for this budget comes from the general fund and tobacco settlement money. Overall, we are recommending approximately $1.2 million in general fund support, which is a 4% decrease from fiscal year 14-15 amounts. The recommendations for you today for the community-based organization and preventive health grant is the result of a review by a committee consisting of representatives from the Behavioral Health Advisory Board, Children's Services Network, the Adult Policy Council, and the Health Commission. As noted on this slide, all the proposals were reviewed and Well, anyway, year-end reports and site visit information was also considered by the committee when making their recommendation. I have to say I could say that word at my kitchen table. I don't know why not today. As in previous years, the CBO preventive health grant request for applications were distributed in December. A total of 70 proposals from 48 local nonprofit organizations were received, requesting $1.9 million in funding. 62 projects are recommended for funding. Of those, 22 will be funded by tobacco settlement money, with 40 being funded through the general fund. Overall, the recommended funding of $1.2 million is a 10% increase from 14-15 amounts. Specifically for the community-based organization category, the recommended funding of $826,900 represents a $54,400 increase from fiscal year 14-15. Programs include dental care, mentoring and clothing for children, food and housing assistance, and various services for seniors. For many organizations, the recommended funding meets a required public match. Funding in the amount of $374,000 is recommended for the preventive health category. This amount represents a 6% decrease when compared to fiscal year 14-15 amounts. Projects include dental programs for the homeless, tattoo removal, needle exchange, and drug and alcohol and mental health crisis counseling. Programs funded in the other agency grant section of Fund Center 106 cover a wide range of services. And the recommended funding of $214,000 overall represents a decrease of approximately $193,000. This is primarily due to funding not being recommended for Visit Flow County. Funding for both the Coastal San Luis and Upper Salinas Los Tablas RCDs is recommended to increase by $5,000 to $15,000 each. Funding for the Action for Healthy Community Service survey in the amount of $20,000 is also recommended. And certainly, last but not least, is District Community Project Grant Funds. And we have a special presentation today. The Leaf Street Committee got together and decided that, sorry, I have to bend down and pick this up, that Mr. Meacham deserves the drought-tolerant solid gold bar money tree.
And that will look wonderful in my yard, along with all the little tassels with my picture on them. Thank you again.
That is a California lilac bush, and it is drought tolerant, and I'm assuming free from invasive species.
I don't know. There's pictures on here.
The District Community Project Grant Program is recommended to increase overall by approximately $9,800 to a total of $139,505 or $27,901 per supervisor district. Current year funds remaining at the close of the fiscal year will be carried forward, and this action is consistent with prior years. 128 projects totaling approximately $128,000 were funded in 14-15, and projects included contributions to school eyesight testing, art and music program for children, safe and sober graduation celebrations, fundraisers for various nonprofit organizations, tourist-generating community events, and community advisory groups, among others. And this does conclude my presentation,
Very
and I'm
good.
Available for questions.
All right. Any questions of the board? I don't have any lights on.
Actually,
Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think with the conclusions of Nikki's staff report, it's appropriate to thank the committee that sorted through these many items. Every year they do a huge amount of work, and we appreciate that they're there.
I believe there are some in the audience if they're willing to stand up. Nobody's willing to stand up. There you go.
Yeah, there they are.
Thank
as we understand it, on the on both the community-based organizations and the preventive health
yes.
grants, these are their recommendations.
Yes, they are.
After hours of discussion.
And way too many hours. And lots of coffee.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Very good. At this time, we have several requests to speak, so we'll go ahead and open the floor to the public. And I'll start here with Devin Best and then Dr. Roslyn Caldwell.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Board of Supervisors. I'm Devin Best with the Upper Salinas Los Tablas Resource Conservation District. I'm privileged and honored to be the executive director during this time. A lot of people ask me, what is a resource conservation district? And it's actually kind of interesting. A lot of people don't actually fully know who we are. We do a lot of ground work, working with local growers, local constituents, schools as well, and people just in general. But what we do is do a lot of water and soil conservation work. We came to the Board of Supervisors asking for a request for additional funds to help us during this time of year. We are in a situation where we are looking at some additional funding coming through this area, and we would like to see the RCDs get some more funds from the county to be able to go and see forward for getting those grants. The RCDs are grant-driven. We work from one grant to the next, so the support that we get from the county gives us a lot of ability to leverage additional funds further from the state and federal level. So with that being said, we did make a request. We do appreciate staff's recommendation for a $5,000 increase, but we would like to see the RCDs both get an additional $11,000 in this next fiscal year. With that being said, I'm keeping this short, so thank you for your time and look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. And let's see, Dr. Caldwell, followed by, where am I here? Followed by Bernadette Bernardi, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. Ms. Schmidt, I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of Cal Poly and the Beccaria Mentoring Program for your continued support of this amazing program that serves adolescents throughout the county. And it's quite an inspiration, especially that we just graduated girls 2 weeks ago and started the boys last week, and
how basic the skills are of reading, being able to read, write, and speak in a way to be able to communicate and to be able to speak for oneself. If one cannot read properly, then one cannot read the instructions on medication. If someone can't communicate in the language of the community, then that person's child may not do as well in school. Someone doesn't read at home, doesn't have a book at home at all because food is more important and shelter is more important, then that child and that family is at a huge loss as far as being able to be successful in our community. So thank you again for, once again, funding the Literacy Council for San Luis Obispo County. We've been around a really long time. If there are any little dollars around to add to our allocation, that would be great. Things continue to be more and more expensive, including staffing. We do need staff to be able to run a program that is countywide. We serve over 400 adult learners in our community, and we have about 400 tutors that are trained by us. So you can imagine that it does cost to be able to run that program. So again, if there's any other little extra funds hanging out in the county budget, please think about the Literacy Council for San Luis Obispo County. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lisa Hoyt, followed by Monica Grant, please.
Good morning. I'm Lisa Hoyt. I'm here representing the Children's Development Resource Center in San Luis Obispo that you already very generously support. I'd like to just share a story with you, please, so you can put on your listening ears. When Elizabeth was experiencing extreme anxiety during her senior year of Slo High, the kind where she almost couldn't eat between the responsibilities of taking college preparatory classes, holding an office of student government, volunteering on a local youth board, and still needing to work almost full-time because her single mother needed help to pay rent and other normal teenage expenses, Elizabeth sought help from the place that had healed her as a child, the Child Development Resource Center. providing therapy for children, adolescents, and families, as well as early education programs for children with special needs and parent coaching and education. The Child Development Resource Center is the program over 8,500 SLO County residents have used when they needed to strengthen themselves and their families. Since 1971, therapy, child care, and parenting programs have been provided free or of low cost to SLO County's most vulnerable children and families. Helping prevent child abuse and neglect was the original goal of our center. Strengthening any family or child that wants not only to create a healthy lifestyle, but make a positive impact on our community has now become the goal of the board, the staff, and the volunteers of CDRC. And indeed, when Elizabeth came again to the special place she had left in elementary school, as both her and her mother had graduated their programs, she came with new, different adolescent issues. Because of the grant funding for continued therapy services provided by the County of San Luis Obispo, Elizabeth was able to overcome her anxiety, finish high school with honors. In fact, she just finished her first year of Cal Poly, where she is studying to be a social worker, giving back for all of the kindness and services she received from CDRC throughout the years that helped her and her mom become self-sufficient and successful. Funding to the CDRC may look like an hour spent in the classroom, a parenting class, or in the therapy office, but the spirit of the healing programs the Child Development Resource Center provide do not only help individual children and families, but by being able to nurture and support local families, especially in the times they need it. The whole community truly benefits. We thank you so much for what you've already done for us. And at this point, I would just like to ask each of you to reconsider fully funding our request, as well as I would like to invite any of you onto our campus. It's a very special place. It's warm, hospitable, and there's nothing like seeing a child to let you know just what your services are helping us with. Thank you.
Thank you. Monica Grant, and followed by Loretta Nicholson, please.
Madam Chair, esteemed members of the board, staff, and committee members, I'm Monica Grant, CEO of the San Luis Obispo County YMCA. I feel like I should be starting with a camp cheer since summer camp starting, but I'll spare all of you that. I'm here to thank you for the funding that you approved last year for the Y to launch Healthy Eating and Physical Activity, which we call HEPA, curriculum in targeted after-school sites in our county, and to ask for your continued support by approving the committee's recommendation for funding this year. We've just completed compiling surveys from the parents of our students involved in our after-school HEPA sites, and they, along with last year's data, show that this curriculum is having strong and positive impact on over 450 children and their families that we're serving with this curriculum currently. But before I do that, I want to share a short story with you about an event I had the opportunity to be part of last week at Grover Beach through HEPA curriculum at the YMCA. Close to 100% of the parents reported that their child has light to vigorous activity for at least 30 minutes daily because of the Y. And lastly, over 80% of the parents reported that their family is making healthier choices outside of school because of the Y's HEPA curriculum. This is why we're doing this. These are compelling results, consistent with last year's. They are also key in supporting the Y's mission to focus on the health, wellness, and youth development of children and families in our county, many of whom, as you know, struggle with obesity and chronic disease. I thank you and ask for your consideration in passing the recommendation for funding for this important initiative for the Y and for our community. That's not me, by the way. This funding, in tandem with other contributions, will allow us to sustain this curriculum and expand in a few sites. So thank you for your support.
Thank you. Loretta Nicholson, and followed by Eric Greening, please.
Hello, good morning. I'm Loretta, and I'd like to thank you all for your ongoing, your ongoing contribution to Santa Margarita Beautiful every year. You've been giving to us Blessed Creatures, Inc. That I'm the CEO of Blessed Creatures, Inc., and now I am Blessed Creatures, Inc., DBA, Forget Me Not, which is a monitored child supervision provider. I was denied, and I'm here to make my plea. There are many, many people who actually do call me, and they cannot afford the services, unfortunately. I do work with them the best I can. I give them discounts to the best of my ability. However, the amount of paperwork and the amount of responsibility that I take upon myself, not only for the child's safety but for my own safety, it does cost something. This is just an example of one case, six visits, the paperwork that I need to do. So I am basically working practically for minimum wage as it is. And I do give them as much as I can off. The one and only affordable program was better, and they closed down in 2012. So they no longer can offer, they're no longer here. Nobody's here to offer any services that are affordable to most of the families, which most of them are Latinas. And I lived in Italy and Spain for 10 years, so I understand the culture very, very well. I also speak the language. So that's very helpful to me. However, this is not just a job for me. This is my ministry. This is my mission, to bring the families together. I'm very good at it. I understand spousal abuse, mental illness, addictions, that type of thing. I'm very good with working for the families. So my mission is to bring the families together, to stop the arguing and the bickering and the healing. And so far, although I'm new, I've only had a few clients, I've been very, very good at that and successful. And I'm a good investment because the amount of money that saves the county for police calls, jail time, court time, emergency room time is huge. So if I can put a few families per year together, so far, that's what I've done. I'm a good investment.
Thank you. Eric Greening's our next speaker, followed by Heather Couch.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Eric Greening, and I'd like to thank the committee for their recommendations, and particularly for Arts Obispo. And I'd like to thank your board for continuing to support Arts Obispo through the darkest times. It never fell below 18,000, and now the recommendation is to begin recovering toward the previous levels of support. It used to be regularly about 30,000 from the county. At one time, it got as high as 41,000. And Arts Obispo is an incredibly efficient agency in terms of getting programs all over the county. I would like to inspire you with a quote from a past elected official that we all still miss. He would be an elder statesman today if he hadn't been shot. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, just a few weeks before he was shot in the autumn of 1963, dedicated the Robert Frost Library at Amherst College and shared these words: America needs strength. Those who create...
Louis Obispo County and the Foundation for the Performing Arts Center have a long relationship. When we were in our initial campaign to build the hall, the county stepped forward with a commitment of $200,000 towards those construction costs, and we're very grateful for that support. Today, the foundation, with our partners Cal Poly and the City of San Luis Obispo, contribute 55% of the budget, which translates into about $1.7 million annually. And each year, this support, in part of what it does is bring more than 9,000 children from all over the county to free school matinees. Those are free this year for the second time. And I'm delighted to announce, we just found out last week, that we now have funding for transportation as well for those students. And more than 8,000 children will also perform on the Performing Arts Center stage through the Young Artists on Stage program. The Performing Arts Center is a sound investment. It's debt-free. It's incredibly well-maintained. The center is run very efficiently and more leanly than our peer institutions. It's a good investment. And how does the Performing Arts Center impact the county? 55 to 65% of ticket patrons come from outside of the city. and approximately 20% come from outside the county. And this drives business for our county. It brings people to San Luis Obispo, and they visit the restaurants, shops, and hotels throughout the county. Also, for many job candidates, the center is a deciding factor. And retirees, I've heard from so many people that when they're deciding where to retire, this is one of the factors that weighs their decision to San Luis Obispo, is having that facility here. So how do we continue this? And I apologize, these fonts look quite different than they do in my file. How do we continue this success into the future? We want to secure the PAC's future and the community's contribution to the Performing Arts Center. So we're in an effort right now to double our endowment, and that will ensure in perpetuity. We've never touched our endowment funds. They're restricted. We will never dip into them. And they ensure that the center is affordable. It keeps the PAC affordable for all county residents, including ticket buyers, and provides a 75% rental discount for local arts groups. It will keep the PAC accessible for young people and all of us in our county, and it enhances the quality of life here in San Luis Obispo. To date, I'm excited and thrilled to tell you that we've raised 90% of our goal of $2.5 million and an additional $865,000 in estate commitments. And respectfully, today we ask you to consider coming forward with a match to that. We're asking for $250,000 for that Encore campaign. Thank you for considering our request.
You're welcome. And Heather, I'm sorry I botched your name on that. I saw it, and I was reading it like I was reading it, thinking, huh.
It's okay. It happens all the time. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Judy Bedell, followed by Ben McAdams, please.
Good morning. My name is Judy Bedell. I live in San Miguel, and I'm the principal of Lillian Larson School in San Miguel, a K-8 school with a very high percentage of low socioeconomic and English language learner students. Without the support of the board and the Foundation for the Performing Arts Center, our students would never be able to attend live theater and musical performances that they've so enjoyed and benefited from over the years. When Shrek the Musical was performed two summers ago, I was able to bring 20 students in the migrant education program to the performance with financial help from the foundation. None of these students had ever attended a live theater production, and only one had been on a college campus. We used the performance as a launch for Reader's Theater and spoken English presentations, and this week I visited with some of the students and asked if they remembered the trip and the lessons, and each of them had big smiles and asked if we were going again this summer. I've worked in education in San Luis Obispo County for over 30 years, and I know I represent hundreds of other educators and the 9,000-plus students in encouraging you to continue funding the Foundation for the Performing Arts Center, and we thank you for your support.
Thank you. Ben McAdams, followed by Ron Yokelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Supervisors, Nina. We've lived here for 46 years, since 1969, and have worked off and on, specifically more recently, to make sure that this facility lasts, like Heather said, in perpetuity. She used up a lot of the statistics that I might have used, and I'm sure that you've memorized them all by now. But this facility has meant more to our community in all the 46 years that we've been here. It affects more people, affects more children, gets kids involved in the arts. And it has, obviously, because of its success, spawned the South County Clark Center, the Cuesta Performing Arts Center, and even recently I became aware of the Templeton High School Performing Arts Center.
We considered a head of household. As you can be sensitive to, we have a highly educated, highly skilled, and very talented work group that we need to recruit here to the Central Coast, most of whom can work anywhere in the United States. And so what we really have to sell is lifestyle, and I can tell you that the Performing Arts Center is something that we brag about all the time, and the arts in San Luis Obispo, where people feel that they're not going to be disenfranchised from cultural activity in San Luis Obispo County, is highly desirable for us as we recruit really fine employees into our healthcare system. I've been here 10 years. I have personally recruited just under 40 physicians into our area. And the one thing that I always use as a selling point is the cultural activity and specifically the Performing Arts Center here in San Luis Obispo. And I can give you an example. We were fortunate last year to recruit a highly skilled surgeon out of an academic medical center in Chicago last year. And we, of course, told him about the Performing Arts Center. And just after he returned home to Chicago, thinking about whether he wanted to make this relocation, he called me and told me he went on the website for the Performing Arts Center, and Jason Mraz was playing there just after he was due to arrive, and he had already bought four tickets. And that was his tipping point in coming here to San Luis Obispo. So we, Tenet Healthcare, personally would urge you to continue to support the Performing Arts Center. Thank you.
Thank you. Catherine Manning, followed by, Tatum Gleason.
Good morning. Catherine Manning with People Self-Help Housing. Wanted to thank you for your support last year and for your recommendations for this year. We are open to full funding if there is a consideration. As many of you know, that we are a housing agency in San Luis Obispo County, but we're also in Santa Barbara County and Ventura. In this county, we have 24 apartment complexes, and those apartment complexes are serving 600 apartments and 2,000 residents. The unique thing about People's Self-Help Housing is that we have a case management program attached to our housing apartment residences. And I've worked homeless services in this community. Homeless services is a priority, housing homeless. We are housing homeless veterans and other homeless residents throughout the community. But the unique thing about People's Self-Help Housing is that case management component that serves those that are staying in our residence. You can have 2,000 people living in your residences, but it's only as you provide those services. I'm a magnet for resources in the community as well as our other clinicians. We are master-level clinicians or students that are being master-level trained. And we connect them to services, all the services that you are hearing here and many others in the community. So you can have all these services in the community, but if you don't have that team of social workers connecting to them to the resources, educating them when they're in jeopardy, whether it's domestic violence, addictions, any issue that all of us might have, lack of funding, we come in as an emergency supportive housing team. We do clinical assessment, provide emergency counseling, and connect them to those resources. Another priority for People's Self-Help Housing, which I'm very much a part of, is that we are providing housing to HUD-VASH voucher veterans that qualify for our programs. We are one of the only housing agencies making it a priority. Everyone knows housing in this community. There is no housing or limited housing, and so we allow them, if they qualify, to jump our housing list, which means this year we've already placed 7 homeless veterans into housing. We have 4 or 5 in the hopper, so to speak, waiting to be housed, and we waive the $25 credit check. So we do appreciate your support. I hope I'm not forgetting to mention anything, but thank you for your support. Many of you are very familiar with us. You support what we do, and we want to continue to be a community partner with all of these agencies, helping to safety net those that are staying in our residence and beyond, because we do a lot of information and referral to all the resources and the phone calls we get. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And Tatum Gleason, followed by Stephanie Tieford, please.
Good morning. My name is Tatum Gleason. I'm a 17-year-old senior attending San Luis Obispo Classical Academy. My family and I have been living in Templeton for 8 years and one day. I've had the privilege of performing at the PAC and studying under vocal coaches connected to the PAC, such as Jacqueline Kreitzer, Beth Clem, and Melody Svegnunson since I was about 11 years old. The opportunity to study here and under these teachers has afforded me and many others enrichment in the arts and has contributed to my dream of becoming a symphony director. And now, if you don't mind, I would like to sing you something. If you've seen the movie Cold Mountain, you may recognize this song. This is called You Will Be My Ain True Love.
Out, they'll seek to find me north and south. but I've gone to find my ain true love. The field is cut and bleeds to red. The cannonballs fly round my head. The infirmary man may count me dead, but I've gone to find my ain true love. I've gone to find my ain true love.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I'm very proud to be a representative from the PAC, and thank you for having me this morning.
Tatum, that was quite a treat for all of us. Thank you very much.
Okay, really hard to follow that.
Stephanie Cheaper, followed by our Cambria connection.
Thank you very much. I'm Stephanie Tiefert. I'm representing Cal Poly and the Office of President Jeffrey Armstrong. We appreciate everything that the county does for the community. You've supported the PAC in the past, and we really hope that you can do so again today at this time. We recognize that you have limited resources and very many important priorities, so we thank you for your consideration of this request. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Do we have someone here from the Cambria Connection?
Cambria Connection.
But I have no name attached. Okay. And I'll just ask you to state your name at the podium, please. Yeah.
This podium?
Either one.
Yeah. Good morning, Anne. My name is Christy Jenkins, and I am on the board of the Cambria Connection, and I do have other members of the board here with me and our president. We thank you all for the monies that you have already allocated for us. I am here to speak to what it is that we do at the Connection and ask for a fulfillment of the money that we had requested. We're a nonprofit resource center that supports individuals and families facing challenges of aging, economic misfortune, parenting, alcoholism, and addiction. Our core mission, hosting 12-step meetings and sober activities, has expanded through collaboration with other social programs, performing at a local level, important and vital community services at a location readily available to those people who are on the North Coast. We've expanded our facility, doubling its size. We have a meeting room for 30 people. We have a community room that we host community gatherings in, one of which was the Supervisors Forum, put on by the University Women and the League of Women Voters, which Supervisor Gibson participated in. We have meeting rooms and counseling rooms, a full kitchen. Our core mission is hosting 12-step meetings and sober activities. We provide 16 core mission programs and sober activities every week in our location. These are open to the community and visitors. Approximately 32% of Cambria's population is 65 years of age or older, and to support that senior population, we have new programs, the Family Ties Program, which is a support service for seniors raising their grandchildren, a series of Alzheimer's dementia workshops, on-site evaluations for the Braille Institute, Medicare and health insurance programs through the Area Agency on Aging, and HICAP. We also work with the youth of the area, field trips, the Alpha program to support parenting. We're located without permanent staffing, and if you fulfill our grant request, we will be able to hire a person to be a part-time employee for that so that we can continue to do this very vital service on the North Coast. We are the only location up there that is available to do that, and we do want to expand all of our service availabilities. Thank you for your consideration and your time.
Thank you. The next speaker slip, it's Cliff. With an S?
Swanson.
Swanson. And followed by Robert Hartzell, please.
Cliff Swanson, representing the Foundation for the Performing Arts Center. I just wanted to add to the various other presentations you've heard that the Performing Arts Center is a remarkable at the Performing Arts Center, and he made it possible for them to have their school show in the Performing Arts Center. And sort of the other extreme, I guess not extreme, but example is the San Francisco Symphony got a grant to perform in rural communities all over the state. They did it in 5 or 6 locations. They performed in gymnasiums all over the state in rural communities. And then they walked into the Performing Arts Center and their jaws dropped and they had the time of their lives in our great hall. Thank you.
Thank you. Robert Hartzell followed by Jim Patterson.
I'm Robert Hartzell with the Upper Salinas Los Tablas Resource Conservation District, Chairperson Arnold, Supervisors. The Resource Conservation District provides a lot of on-site visits, it provides education, it provides community outreach that is accomplished prior to programs being funded or prior to grants really being written and funded that way. So funds that we ask the county for, that the county has provided, really helps us in this front-end work of contacting our community, providing the on-site visits, providing the outreach. So, again, I would appreciate the funding we've received and would request that you fully fund our request. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Patterson, followed by Marie Brinkmeyer.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, my name is Jim Patterson. I'm here this morning representing the El Camino Homeless Organization, better known as ECHO. We are the emergency overnight homeless shelter serving the North County. I'm here this morning to ask for your consideration for funding for ECHO. Regrettably, due to an administrative oversight, our application was not submitted, though ECHO has a long history of funding from the county. In March of 2013, we purchased the site that we'd been leasing the previous 7 years to serve as the homeless shelter in the North County. In May of 2014, we were successfully able to expand the shelter and increase our capacity from 30 beds to 50 beds and increase our meal service to 80 per day. And I did provide you with a snapshot of our service May of this year to give you an idea of what our occupancy has increased to. Obviously, with the increased services, our costs have gone up considerably to the tune of about $100,000 a year in additional cost to the organization. We've hired a part-time volunteer coordinator to recruit and train over 600 volunteers that we use annually, providing thousands of hours of service of a value of over $200,000 from volunteers. We are requesting the same funding as last year, $35,000. We would very much appreciate it if you would give us that consideration. And I want to thank you. This was always a happy time when I served on the board to be able to distribute funds to these local nonprofits and community organizations. The county gets great value, the residents get great value from the money that the county distributes, and I thank you for that.
Thank you. Marie Brinkmeyer, followed by Lisa Ray.
Marie Brinkmeyer from Senior Volunteer Services, Madam Chair, members of the board. Thank you for the continuing support for Senior Volunteer Services and all our programs. RSVP, the Retired and the Senior Volunteer Program, Project Lifesaver, and our emerging Central Coast Community Volunteers. We offer the recruitment and placement of qualified senior volunteers to the agencies from San Miguel in San Luis Obispo County all the way to Orcutt in northern Santa Barbara County. The support provided by San Luis Obispo County is a major reason why we are able to meet our federal grant requirements of a 30% local match and will allow us to grow our new program, attracting younger seniors and serving all the agencies who request our assistance. It's so gratifying to me to sit here in this audience, listen to these agencies, and realize that we are partners with the majority of them. And so that's a great privilege for us, and I certainly thank you on behalf of Senior Volunteer Services and all the agencies that we're serving. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. Lisa Ray, followed by Ahmed Norris, provided support at the following outreaches. Lillian Larson Elementary School, C.L. Smith Elementary School, San Luis Coastal Family Resource Fair in Los Osos, the Oceano Boys and Girls Club, Dana Elementary, Cambria Unified School District, Georgia Brown Elementary School, Echo Homeless Shelter, Cops and Kids Day in Rio Grande, Sheriff's Day at the Park. We've also partnered often with the food banks distributions in the isolated outskirts of our county in Chandon, San Miguel, San Simeon, and many other communities. And just recently, the County Foster Family Barbecue. And I'd also like to thank Supervisor Meacham for joining us at our Christmas outreach in San Miguel. It was really a pleasure to have you there. Thank you so much. Your support is making the critical difference in our ability to meet the relentless demands for our programs. The Board of Directors and the members of our advisory board have directed me to convey their gratitude for your dedication in supporting our organization and your assistance in serving the needs of the children of San Luis Obispo County. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Noristani, followed by Margie Lindquist.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Board. Thank you guys for having me. On behalf of Salonor Foundation, once again, thank you guys for continuing support. Just to give you guys a little update what we have done for the past 3 years and how far we have come along with your support and the amount of service and amount of people that we have served over the past 3 years. So far, over 10,000 encounter has been dealt through the clinic, and our services has expanded. Over $14 million worth of free services through volunteer program has been delivered over 3 years. So the money that the grants that we get goes a long way. We faced many challenges before, and I've been here in front of board. One of the problem we had initially when we started clinic, the waiting period was over 1 year, and we solved that problem by you guys giving us a grant, and so that waiting period has shifted from a year to almost a week. So it's an amazing process by just hiring a part-time nurse practitioner. Now we are facing the same challenge with a dental clinic which opened about a year ago. The waiting period currently is over a year. And you could imagine if you have pain and wait for a whole year to get your teeth fixed. Over the past few months, we have seen more and more challenge with urgent care when it comes to dental care. We have over 12 to 14 volunteer dentists. By no means it's enough. We can solve that problem by hiring a part-time dentist to come in and open the clinic for more hours. We also have partnered up with the Tolosa Children Clinic. They operate from the dental clinic the days that we are not there, and we'll continue with that partnership. But I guess one of the big problem that I see when it comes to healthcare is, once again, it's now not about we don't have enough provider, obviously that is the goal, but with a dental clinic, and it's extremely sad to see that people wait a whole year. Now we just don't offer just pulling the teeth, we also offer extensive dental restoration for homeless and indigent, including crowns, and you guys know how expensive it is. For the past year, we've been open only a day and a half, a week to two, and we have delivered over $500,000 worth of free service. And we'll continue to do that with your support. So if there's any extra money on the budget, please consider that, because this is extremely, extremely important for the health of the community. And as I say, we have done our part as far as volunteering and expanding the program. So thank you once again for support, and hopefully continue to do so.
Thank you. And Margie Lindquist, followed by Carl Hansen.
Good morning, Madam Chair and board members. I'm Margie Lindquist. I'm the district conservationist for the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and we are part of the United States Department of Agriculture. I've worked here in the county for NRCS for about 30 years, and over that time, I've been very fortunate to work with the resource conservation districts, both the Coastal San Luis and the Upper Salinas Los Tablas RCDs. And I am a strong supporter of what they do and the funding that you have given them and additional funding that you are contemplating giving to the RCDs. RCDs leverage funds very effectively. They're eligible to compete for many grants at the state and federal level, and RCDs here in this county have done that very successfully. They have brought funding to our county for watershed planning and restoration, wetland and farmland conservation easements, flood control and farmland protection, on-farm conservation innovation grants, technical and financial assistance to help farmers conserve water and protect water quality, and projects that benefit and supplement that staff as needed with contractors. They are overseen by a volunteer board who are members of the local community. They offer their assistance on a purely voluntary basis, so people have to want to work with the RCDs. And I think that is probably the biggest strength in what they offer, is that everything they do is based on a voluntary basis. So thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, Marty. Carl Hansen, followed by Joyce Ellen Lipman, please.
Chair Arnold and members of the Board of Supervisors, I'm Carl Hansen, CEO of the Food Bank Coalition. I want to thank you for your incredible support over the years of our work in the community. And thanks to Nikki and her committee for the recommendation this year as well. And I also want to thank you again for this wonderful proclamation that was given to the food bank last week. I'd like to say I've been carrying it around showing it to everybody, but in actuality, I left it here, and the supervisor, Adam's assistant, Hannah, rescued it for me. So we'll display it on our website and around proudly. Well, thankfully, the recession is behind us, and I can't say that our numbers are increasing of people that we are serving, but we are serving 44,000-plus people in the county every day with access to nutritious food. And are actually increasing our services to those people, especially this year to seniors and to children through new programs. For example, we have farmers market programs now working at senior facilities, about 8 different facilities in the county, where we just bring fresh produce for seniors who don't get out of the facility very often. Maybe they're shut in, but have neighbors also who can take food to them. So they're enjoying the experience of having a farmer's market right there. And we're doing the same thing for children in many of our schools around the county, providing farmer's markets for them. The big news for us, of course, as you know, is that we're consolidating our 2 warehouses in the county, one in Oceano, one in Paso Robles, to be centralized in San Luis Obispo, which is geographically pretty central in the county and also allows us the efficiencies of getting food out and rescuing food around the county from one location. And that provides a huge cost savings to us. And while we're doing that, we're also going to be increasing our services to the agencies that rely on the food bank to help people in their neighborhoods who don't have access to nutritious food. So we've outgrown our 2 warehouses. We can't afford to build 2, but we can afford to build 1, and in the process increase our services not only to the recipients but to the agencies we serve. So we're very happy about that, and thank you for your support.
Thank you. Joyce Ellen Lipman, followed by Charlene Abels.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Board of Supervisors, and Nikki. My name is Joyce Lippman, and I work at the Area Agency on Aging, also known as the Central Coast Commission for Senior Citizens. I'm here to thank you again for your grant award for monies to match the federal and state funds that we bring in and our administrative share of that. Without that, we wouldn't be able to bring in the approximately $1.4 million for senior services. I also want to thank you for the support that you provide to senior services through the other agencies, many of whom are also partners with us. This AAA has been serving San Luis Obispo County for 40 years. We've just celebrated our 40th anniversary. This happens to be the 50th anniversary of Medicare and Medi-Cal and many other federal programs, including the Older Americans Act. We will be having a 2015 White House Conference on Aging in July, actually July 13th, and we'll have a watch location here in San Luis Obispo. There is so much happening in the senior population. It's not just increasing, as you all know from a look at the demographics of this county and the state. It is a major shift. We are growing very old, and that population is a significant concern. I mean, it's not uncommon to find people who are in their 90s, 95, whatever, and being cared for by 60 and 70-year-olds who aren't always spring chickens themselves. So, but you can also see, just looking around the audience this morning, the significant role that what we call our young seniors, oops, that's me too, young seniors play in both volunteer.
The Assistance League is not to provide clothing to students. The long-term goal is to improve the students' educational experience. The San Luis Obispo County Schools Annual Education Report for 2014 states the students living in poverty are 20 to 55% lower in academic achievement than their peers. These students do not fail in a vacuum. Our welfare rolls and prison system are not filled with men and women who have their PhDs. They are filled primarily with the poorly educated. In the grant writing world, we dance all around the word poor. We use the term in need, disadvantaged, at risk. Ladies and gentlemen, these children are poor, their families are poor, and the prospects for their future are poor. Education is the primary tool for children to remove themselves from poverty, fulfill their potential, and become contributing members of our community. Dr. Brescia, County Superintendent of Schools, recently said that 48% of children, our students in San Luis Obispo County, are living at or below the poverty line. That's a staggering number, but it's only a statistic. We clothed a homeless family of four children this year. Because the father had nursed the mother who died of cancer, he lost his job, and because he lost his job, they lost their home. When we were clothing his children, he was constantly looking at the time because if they were late to the shelter, they could not get in, and those children and that family had nowhere to spend the night. In addition to that, the man had no shoes. He had soles that were tied onto his feet with strings or ropes or something, and obviously we don't clothe adults, but our member that was there said, "Let me help you," and he said, "Don't worry about me, just clothe my children." Well, our members saw to it that when that man left with his children who'd been clothed, he had shoes and socks. That is one of many stories. Assistance League had it, on a cheerful note, Assistance League had its most successful year ever. We clothed 1,622 kindergarten through 12th grade students. Each child was clothed in a retail setting experience at Old Navy in San Luis Obispo or Kohl's in Paso Robles. And these students returned to school the very next day wearing the same clothes as their peers. They go to class, they can sit next to your child or your grandchild, and that particular stigma of poverty, looking different, has been removed. They can fully focus on their academics, participate in extracurricular activities, and make the social adjustment necessary for a successful educational experience. Assistance League is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization with no paid staff, but we have 135 members who have an unyielding advocacy to these children. Thank you for your continued support. You are a major player in the success of these children and have made a difference in our county. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. John Roland Deerhart, followed by Jerry Roland, please.
I'm John Deerhart. I've been here in San Luis Obispo County since 1948, and I'm a retired teacher of some 35 years in the in San Luis Coastal Unified School District and other areas. I am the executive director of North County Connection, and we're here to ask for money. And North County Connection is a nonprofit organization, and we've been operating as volunteers for some 27, 28 years. And my first volunteer with North County Connection was a program we call Kids in Touch. These are kids that have been, and their families who have been involved and have suffered the consequences of alcoholism and drug addiction. And that's what we're about, North County Connection, holding the recovery community in North County. And I'd like to say that we have been operating on volunteerism all these years, and very seldom have we gotten any money, and it's only been minuscule for our operations. The I'm just interested in saying that that's it.
Mr. Roland. Thank you. Thank you. And Mr. Roland.
Hi, I'm George Roland. I'm a chief financial officer and chief cook and bottle washer for North County Connection for the last 26 years. Mr. Roland and I have been founding members of the organization. We've taken it from a room at Drug and Alcohol to getting evicted and buying 2 acres in the middle of town there with our bank, nobody else. And we were told by staff that we weren't qualified to do that, and we walked in the bank and got a loan. Funny how that works. Anyway, we've been on top of things for 26 years, and that's why we still exist. Every time the county has a problem, they take money from us. We funded county employees in 04, 08, and it never comes back. It goes, it don't come back. And I hear we hired 200 new employees because we found the $200 million that was hidden every budget, or the $20 million that was hidden every budget that came up in December every year for the last 20 years. And so we're really hurting for like 40 grand to get one position paid. All of the health acts that you've all heard about endlessly, the ACA, the blah, 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 all come down to every doctor, every therapist, everybody has to send everybody to drug and alcohol treatment if they have a problem. We're it. There's nothing else here. North County Connection is it. It's been it for 26 years. They call us. We can't even afford a paid employee. Miss Warren's done it volunteer for the last year, and I'm really worried about her health. She's really stressed out. We've all been volunteers for 26 years. You know, I've suffered the indignity of being called a racist, a anti-Semitic, and a homophobe for questioning somebody's thinking. And, you know, I've given 26 years to my community. We had 35,000 units of service in 2008 when they cut 50 grand from our budget, not because we did anything wrong, except we got tired and we quit. We can't handle 35,000 units of drug addicts. And we want to keep our doors open and keep providing service. We've built a low-income apartment so we can supplement some income. And at the end of the year, we'll be good again. But this year, we need funding for an employee. I'm not a real nice guy. I served in the Navy. I served in the Marine Corps. I'm not a real nice guy, but I'm a good guy. And I've given 26 years to this. And I would close the doors rather than put up with much more. We see, you know, this is the preventative health grant. I've seen people sing and dance. And, you know, I'm a musician. You want to do a song and dance? What I see is death, suffering, people losing kids. lives turned over. 10% of your community has drug and alcohol problems, no matter what you want to call it. And they're serious, and they affect another 50% of your community. 85% of the people that walk into drug and alcohol facilities in California looking for treatment are not in trouble with the law, have never been in trouble with the law, and don't want their name taken, and don't want to be in trouble with the law. That's who we deal with.
Thank you, Mr. Rowland.
Thank you
for being here. Bryn Smith, followed by Angela Wright.
Hi, my name is Bryn Smith. I'm here representing the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County. I would like to thank the board, Nikki, and the Grant Review Committee for the funding recommendation and the previous support through the CBO and Preventative Health Grant Program. These funds assist the Community Action Partnership in providing direct services for more than 1,000 low-income individuals across five of our small but mighty programs. These services include breast cancer screenings and other menopausal screenings for low-income women who are inadequately insured or cannot find a provider to take them. They provide mobile health screenings for seniors who have limited mobility in the communities where they live. It also provides laser tattoo removal services laser tattoo removal services and volunteer opportunities for people with gang or other antisocial tattoos. And it also provides adult daycare services for seniors with memory loss and respite for their family caregivers. There are also support services provided through our safe system of care. Additionally, these programs reach over 6,300 community members with educational presentations and additional outreach. So on behalf of the staff and the people that we serve, I want to thank you for your recommendation and thank you for your previous support.
Thank you. Angela Wright, and followed by Nicole Lemke.
Good morning. I'm Angela Wright. I'm here on behalf of CDRC. My son attends the program. I was just asked yesterday to come in and speak, but I didn't prepare anything. But
we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a long week. I didn't think I was going to cry. I'm sorry. Kindergarten and first grade and bring them back there where they already feel safe. And like my circumstances, I've never drank. I've never done drugs. I've overcome that from my childhood. Those are barriers that I've chosen to overcome through other things in this community, people that have gotten up and spoken. I've been served through several people that have spoken before you today. I was born to a 14-year-old mother, put myself into foster care here in San Luis Obispo County through Family Care Network at 14, and have been served through the Domestic Violence Center, have protected my children throughout their lives, and am now a year away from getting my degree at Cuesta, and with a 3.5 GPA, plan to go to Cal Poly in sociology and minor in early childhood education and continue to serve. And I plan to work for CDRC and continue to help other people thrive as I have and then enable their children to have hope. So when you look at who you're going to allocate more funds to, I just ask that you ask yourself, are you going to help save a life? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wright. Nicole? Okay. Followed by Mary Sheridan.
Thank you. My name is Nicole Lemke, and I'm calling, and I'm here to speak on behalf of CDRC. I've been receiving services from CDRC for the past 4 years. It first started, my voice is fluctuating. I'm very nervous. For the last 4 years, I've been a student. I've been going to school for nursing. And during the nursing program, I had difficulty with my daughter, Rosalyn, being able to keep her in child care because of her behavior. She was 2 at the time, so I just assumed that it was terrible twos. After about the sixth child care center that we were kicked out of, I heard about CDRC, and I went to them for help. Being able to go to CDRC, they've done behavioral modification with her, being able to work with her in class, and also started working and found out that she does have ADHD. Since then, she's now going to Pacheco. She's going to be going into second grade. I've tried many, many types of medication for her for treatment because she is difficult and she just has so much energy. The medication doesn't work. She has severe reactions to it. She's still been going to CDRC. They do counseling with her, and they also work with Pacheco Elementary. And I'm so nervous. I'm sorry. And it's been wonderful. They've been working together cohesively, and now they just hired somebody who has EMDR training, which is therapy with the right and left brain. Which for me, since I can't do medication with my daughter, alternative medication is the only way to go. And it's so hard, especially being a student on SenCal, to be able to find alternate treatments. I mean, it's not only is it expensive, but with medical treatment in general, which we've all heard today, it's very hard to get services with for children with SenCal. So it's been amazing. She goes every Wednesday. They're constantly working and meeting with the school. I also have my older daughter who goes to counseling. Her father was killed in a car accident after she was one. So she struggled with that quite a bit. She was very quiet, and now it's just amazing to see how the change in her personality and how lively she is. And I have my son going there. It's amazing because it's not just a school. There's just so many aspects that it treats. It really is the meaning of childcare. And I wouldn't be where I am today without their help. I just graduated my bachelor's program. I did my prereqs. I got my two associate degrees over at Cuesta in the last 4 years. I also just graduated from Hancock through the RN program, and right after that was in 2012, and then I was accepted to Cal State Channel Islands, where I just graduated last August with my bachelor's in nursing, and I just started working 9 weeks ago over at Marion Hospital as a cardiac nurse. And it's programs like these that really make a difference in people's lives, and it's great because now I'm going to be able to turn around and give back to my community.
Thank you, Ms. Lumpy. Thanks for being here. Mary Sheridan, followed by Ann Boyd-Busey.
Madam Chair, members of the Board of Supervisors, and Nikki. My name is Mary Sheridan. I'm with Coast Caregiver Resource Center, and I want to thank you very much for your recommendation of funding for our caregiver respite. These funds are going to be used as a required match for federal funds through the Area Agency on Aging, and they're going to generate...
Youth mentoring is an investment, I think, in the county itself and the future of our county. Overall, Big Brothers Big Sisters is doing well. We're growing. I saw a couple of you or your staff at the opening of our Pastor Robles office a couple months ago, so thank you for that, as well as the proclamation. We really appreciate the support. We're doing well. It's our 20th anniversary here on the Central Coast, and we've served over 2,000 children, so we're very grateful that we're able to do that. And I wanted to share with you some stats. A Harris Interactive study of alumni littles found that these are adults who were children in our program years ago, that 90% of them agreed their big made them feel better about themselves. Their big is their volunteer mentor. 86% of them said their relationship with their big helped them make better choices throughout their adult life. 76% said that they learned right from wrong from their big. That's pretty significant. 65% agreed their big helped them reach a higher level of education than they'd ever thought possible. And 52% said their big helped them keep them from dropping out of school. So significant long-term effects, and that's really what we focus on. We did mail out our annual report, but I'll pass them around in case you guys didn't get any of those, and I have a bunch. I also wanted to invite everyone to our big event, Wine Tasting and Auction, because it's fun. So please do attend if you're able, and enjoy the report, and thank you guys so very much.
Thank you. Okay, I don't have any more requests to speak. Did I miss anyone that wished to speak? Anyone out there? Okay, then.
Take about 10 minutes.
Sure. We'll take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back at 10:40 to finish up. Wow. Okay, we are back. And I want to thank all of the people that came to update us on their programs and what they've been doing. And, you know, it's pretty evident that all of these nonprofit, wonderful nonprofit organizations that we have in the county that run with dedicated volunteers really make San Luis Obispo County the special place that it is. So with that, we're going to get into the deliberations on this agenda item, and I have a light on Supervisor Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wondered if we could just take the PAC request separately, because they're asking for a one-time allocation, and if we look back, remember I think we've all been visited by folks and also provided a letter. It's been a little over 20 years since we kicked in. If we were to annualize that, we probably have spent less on helping to support the PAC than a lot of other of our arts and culture institutions in the community. And I do think that the case has been made quite well. Mr. Uchelson talking, and they're one of our bigger employers, about the way that it helps out the larger community, in the sense that this is, you know, people who have to come here. And I know, having sat last year at a performance with the Stollmeyers, Rick, of course, is the CEO of MindBody, that they said that the PAC is a big part of, when they're recruiting employees, having a rich cultural life. And I know it was like, I was at Cal Poly just before the PAC opened, and there was almost a dearth of cultural life before the PAC. And since the PAC, there's been an enormous amount. I mean, and all over, too, as they mentioned, you know, you got the Clark Center in South County. You've seen for-profit venues like Vina Robles open up in North County. But, I mean, we've seen so much more going on. And the PAC does a great job, as they pointed out, with the kids. They want to do more performances for kids, and they want to do more performances. They do, you know, pre-performance lectures. I know I'm biased, because I like to go to things at the PAC. And I can tell you that as somebody who grew up outside of New York City and used to go to a lot of different things with my family, you can see similar acts at the PAC for a lot less money. You know, I've seen things at the PAC that would have cost me, even in L.A., probably another $100 a ticket. So I think, you know, every 20 years, if this is what they're asking for, this is a pretty good deal for everybody. It's really, truly a great institution. So I hope we can grant their request and move on to our other annual agencies, but I do think this would be a nice way for us to help put them at their goal and let them move on to all the things that they do in the community. But you know, it's really been such a critical. I didn't expect that it would be as important as it is when it opened. I just, you know, it really has been, and they've continued to program, I think, really exciting things at the PAC, and it is really wonderful to see kids. I can't think of something more important. You can do it in classrooms and such, but actually taking them to a beautiful concert.
We're not looking to enter into the ongoing commitment in terms of that funding source. Those are already in place, but that the foundation was really looking to increase the endowment in order to help provide greater access to those throughout the county, largely targeted at kids and potentially lower-income areas, to help subsidize the cost at the PAC for either free or subsidized attendance. And that's my understanding is the nature of the request, just to flesh that out a little bit more. Something else I would point out for your board's consideration, as was noted by Ms. Schmidt earlier, as we know, this afternoon we're going to be holding a hearing related to the Tourism Marketing District, in which the Visit SLO would become self-funding if that's passed. As such, the county's $325,000 annual contribution would no longer be needed. That money has been, you know, used to put aside into contingencies and elsewhere. So part of that money is available in this budget as well.
Great. Would it be appropriate to then just, I think what Supervisor Hill's suggesting is that we take this item right here first and then go back to what we see in our staff report. Sure. So with that, I'll ask Supervisor Meacham to comment on this.
I'm having a little bit of a problem with this one. I mean, I think the PAC is wonderful, but when I see $250,000 of the contingency money, and a lot of that could go to these other programs, we could almost fully fund everything with that kind of money. So if there were a way to break this up somewhat to where we, I mean, $100,000 this year and maybe $100,000 next year, I wouldn't have any objection to that. But I see so many other needs here. And I see, I mean, everything from Dr. Noristani does an incredible job. I see all these other things that need to be addressed. And so I'm really reluctant to go the full $250,000 one-shot deal when there's so many other needs out there.
Okay, let's see. Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will refer back to our CAO on this. I'm supportive of the idea of making this $250,000 contribution. The question of where it comes from might be important, and in talking to the CAO, another thought came up. But let me just speak to the merits of the request. It is an endowment. It is to be used to facilitate our community taking advantage of this remarkable institution, this remarkable facility that's there. I have been in the PAC a couple of times when the Slow Symphony has put on concerts for children, and it's that sort of function that the PAC supports that is life-changing in many cases. It's interesting to me that the foundation for the PAC has this sense of collaborating with a wide range of our community, and the one that caught me was the matter of finding a way to transport kids to these performances. That's a seems like a little thing, but it is a bigger deal than would meet the eye. The other thing is that we're being asked to close the deal here, and that reminds me of Pismo Preserve. That's an investment in the cultural and recreational life of this community. I sort of put the two things into the same category, that this demonstrates our county's commitment to the wide range of connections we have with our county residents. The thought that Mr. Buckshy brought up to me is that since this is a one-time contribution, there are potentials of taking some or perhaps all of it out of reserves that have been built up. And one of the questions I asked him on Monday was about the nature of reserves. We are above, certainly above an adequate level in our reserves. And as this is an investment that goes under the management of an endowment, I think as long as we put the right conditions on this contribution, making sure that it stays with the endowment, making sure that it stays for the particular purposes that have been discussed, as any significant donor should and would ask for, I think we've made a very wise investment. So, yes, I appreciate coming out of contingencies. There are a whole lot of extremely important human needs that have been presented to us today. I think that we should dip into our contingencies for some of those. For this $250,000, I think we should think about our reserves. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Of course. And Supervisor Hill?
And I wanted to follow up on that, too, partly because, I mean, the actions that we've taken through the years to manage the budget so well are not just so that we can save more money, but we're a service organization. That's what the county does. We try to serve the public in a variety of ways, including some of the ways that we're going to discuss here. And I wanted to keep the PAC separate. It's kind of unfair almost to put them in with some of our human charity organizations. But, you know, they're asking for a one-time thing, and I had talked about it with Mr. Buckshy to see if this was going to be any problem. In terms of where we're at, and you know, on Monday, without much discussion, there was an approval to up the History Center to $100,000 annually. And you know, it passed. That's fine. But there wasn't really any heartburn about that, it seems. So I would just say that this is a really wise investment in terms of, as Mr. Gibson pointed out, as we heard from the folks from the PAC, that this will help them close their deal on the endowment campaign. It's without a doubt, I think, anybody in the community that it is a absolute center of cultural activity for the entire community. And
my concern is some of these organizations and charities that are approaching us are life and death situations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, homelessness and alcoholism in the family that breaks families apart, and we heard people testify to that today. So my concern, while this is a great organization, my family uses it all the time. We enjoy going up there. My kids have gone there since they were age two. Their schools have used it. I really don't want to dip into contingencies. So that makes me very uncomfortable. So could I ask our CEO if there's another way over a two-year period or something to do it? Is there what other ways do you see? I don't want to dip into contingencies that we're just starting to build up again.
Well, certainly spreading out over a couple years is an option, absolutely. To clarify contingencies versus reserves, contingency is our 5% that is allocated annually that's part of the operating budget. So what do we add? About $22 million in contingencies this year is essentially the buffer in our budget for the unknown, and that we've moved from 4.5% to 5% where they're. Reserves and designations are bank accounts that are one-time money, and we are at our target levels. We're actually slightly above our target levels on our one-time. So,
what is our level for that then?
Our target is to have 20% of the operating budget in reserves, and I believe we're about 25%, 24%. Given that. In total, it's around $100 million. Now, to clarify all of that, some of that is intended to be used for capital projects. Not all of that is just one-time money set aside. There are various purposes for which that is to be used. Largely for capital and infrastructure is the large piece of that. What I was going to suggest, because of the one-time nature of this request, it could be appropriate if your board wants you to use reserves as opposed to contingencies. When we're looking at ongoing operating costs and at making additions, typically we go to contingencies because that funding source is an ongoing nature. Using reserves for one time, using one-time reserves for an ongoing cost, we try to avoid. So in this case, if your board wanted to use reserve, we do have, it's called a general government building replacement reserve that could be used for this request in as little or as much amount as your board would like for that.
Okay, I would like to support this request, and my thinking is this. It's the economic health of the county that allows us to distribute the monies to our nonprofit agencies throughout the county every year, and depending on how healthy that economy is for us, we can give more or less to the all the organizations that we heard from today. For me, the PAC has just become a jewel and kind of a magnet for folks from outside the county. We know that when people visit the PAC for the various performances that they spend money at the restaurants and the hotels and the other things that put money into the till here at the county, and like I say, can be used for today and other expenditures. So from a sheer financial standpoint, I think that the county would probably never be able to afford to build a PAC, but since we can take advantage of another entity that has built such a beautiful facility, when asked to once in a while help them continue that, I really think that the county probably, from the sheer financial aspect, receives more in an economic benefit from the PAC's existence here in our county and in our city than we would be spending today should we fully fund the request. So I'm prepared today to fully fund that request.
Out of which, what reserve are you saying?
The CAO suggested the reserve.
The reserves.
Of course.
So you're, Dan, you're saying that we have, in the reserves, we have the capability to do this. I know, too, that we're going to be confronted with the airport issue. Is that where that funding is going to be proposed to come from as well?
It could. That's what we're still looking to do, depending how we're going to structure the airport. That would be one of the funding sources that would be considered. There is enough in there, should your board want to proceed with the airport, to cover that portion. It's really about opportunity cost, in my mind. I mean, there is the money in the reserve. Should your board want to support this request, it obviously would be $250,000 that would be less to spend on something else.
Would that be Humane Society to come out of that same reserve?
It may, yes. There's that, and there's one other reserve for capital projects as well.
Madam Chair, if I might.
Yes, Supervisor Gibson.
I would suggest we might modify the motion in broad brush, where it seems to be we're landing on a consensus to come out of reserves rather than contingencies. Why don't we make the motion to fund this request out of reserves as our CAO and auditor controller feel is most prudent?
Sure.
Motion maker and the second agree to that?
Applied.
Absolutely. We'll speak to the, you know, let me just speak.
This is just a voice vote as well for, and we'll deal with it finally on the 16th. Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
And abstentions? Okay. With that, then, we'll move on to the bulk of our business today. And I see Supervisor Gibson, is your light on still?
Yeah. Yes? I'm happy to lead off here. This Wednesday morning of budget hearings is always just a remarkable experience for me to see the breadth and commitment of so many remarkable community-based organizations it fills my heart. We have people who are absolutely committed to taking care of this community in one way and another, and as Supervisor Meacham observed, there's lots of needs here. We have contingencies. We got over $21 million of contingencies. We could fund all these needs. But I look to, as I listened today, I look to a number of individual organizations that are doing remarkably well, and I think are potentially deserving of some augmentation. I'd be happy to discuss this with colleagues. Within my district, the Cambria Connection provides a wealth and such a wide variety of programs that benefit families, folks in recovery, youth, and they do so in an isolated geographic setting. I think many colleagues might realize that the community of Cambria is much more diverse than it looks on the surface. There is significant poverty. That community has all the problems that other communities have. And the Cambria Connection has been remarkably effective in running a variety of programs that people can get to. So I'd like to entertain the possibility of their receiving the full funding, which would be another $15,000 on top of the $20,000 that's recommended. As I look elsewhere, the Noor Clinic has had remarkable success. They are run on the hard work of a lot of volunteer medical professionals, and I think that the extra $25,000 that would bring them to full funding is worthy of discussion here. I'll leave our North County supervisors to take the lead on questions of ECHO. That is a tough situation that we've been involved in previously. And then finally, as to the request of the RCDs, and I'm sorry that they have left the chambers, I think that there's some possibility. They provide excellent service to a wide range of constituents within our county. I'd like to consider increasing their funding, but I'd also like to consider a very specific issue of strategic planning for them before we really commit to how much we spend. And that, in particular, off the surface, involves the possible consolidation of the two different RCDs. I'm not sure that this budget hearing is the place to go into that in detail, but at an appropriate point, Madam Chair, I can give you a little bit of a summary of where I think that this might need to go. Those are mine.
Supervisor Meacham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with Supervisor Gibson on the Noor Foundation. They've done incredible work. I have no reservations whatsoever about bumping them up another $25,000. I know ECHO is about the only thing we've got in the North County that really fully addresses the issue of homelessness. And I'm a little concerned that last year they were late. This year they didn't apply. That's always tough because everybody else follows the direction. And it kind of sends a message like, well, I guess we really don't need it, but I know they do. So if there's any way that we can help fund that, it's the only place in the North County that really houses any kind of shelter. In addition, I agree with Supervisor Gibson on the RCDs. I think that the RCDs are providing another valuable asset to us, especially in these times of our drought and how they're dealing with assistance from the farmers and the ranchers. I have spoken quite a bit with Devin. He's pretty well connected with the USDA and with the federal folks to get grants, but like others have mentioned, oftentimes it takes matching money to be able to get those. So I'd like to be able to bump up both the coastal resource conservation and the Upper Salinas Las Tablas, and I'm flexible on what that is, but I know that they asked for both of them asked for right around $30,000 to $40,000. If there were a way to bump them each of them up another $10,000, it would help.
That stand out to me that I am familiar with, the NORA Foundation, of course, that services the whole county, and I'm comfortable in bumping them up to. ECHO, I share the same concerns. I'm not familiar. I mean, I understand the organization. I know they do a lot of good things, but I haven't worked with them. So I am concerned that they didn't get their funding requests in, but I'm hoping to rectify that today. People Self-Housing does a lot of good things in South County. I wish they would have been here today to advocate on additional monies. They asked for $15,000. If we could bump them up $5,000 and put them to $20,000, which isn't fully fulfilling their request, I would appreciate that. And then the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, if we could bump them up $8,000 to take them to $15,000, they're really the only ones in South County that do anything. It's too far to provide services from San Luis down to South County. So they do great work, and I'm familiar with that organization down there. So those are the ones, but I feel at a disadvantage because there's so many of them that I'm not familiar with. And while I'm sure they're very worthy, it would be nice if we could participate in those meetings or have a briefing, after the organization that makes the decisions for allocation sits down with us. But I do feel at a disadvantage this morning.
Supervisor Compton, on the Five Cities Homeless, how much did you suggest?
I suggested $8,000 to take them to $15,000. They're the top one. They last year were given $7,000. They're asking for $23,950. If we could bump them up $8,000 more.
And on People Self-Help, you were asking for their full allotment to bump them up $7,000.
I was asking for an additional $5,000.
$5,000.
To take them to $20,000.
I'm looking at their request for 25, and they received 18.
Mm-hmm. They got 15 last year. Yeah. 25. Mm-hmm.
And then
they're recommending 18. For 18.
Okay.
If I could weigh in on this, People's, we did have someone actually speak. Catherine Manning was here from People's Self-Help Housing.
Oh, she was? Okay.
I think People's Self-Help Housing is got a pretty terrific track record.
Mm-hmm.
And they could give you metrics of success in any neighborhood in this entire county, and I would support them as at full funding because we all know how difficult it is to get anything remotely close to affordable housing. So I think we should, and I know that they've been great partners with our community. And I also I support what other people have. I think ECHO, we gotta hit them on the hand with a ruler, but it's a critical agency for the North County. They do really good work. It's all volunteers for the most part, and I don't know what the North County would do without ECHO. So I think we need to just, tell them, please don't put us in this position again, and we'll give you the money, because it is. I mean, I know that, Supervisor Arnold, I know that you're familiar with it, too, because it's up in Atascadero. They really do important work. So I support, and I also support what Supervisor Meacham and Supervisor Gibson were saying on the RCDs, they are a good partner for us, and I think we can help them. So I'm supportive of everything, except the only thing I said, I thought that the people self-help should get their full request, because they really, they do have a great track record of making great projects here.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. What do you think on the Fire Cities homeless? Is that just the additional aid? Is that, I mean, they've asked for almost 24.
I think that's an, you know, I think that there's, I think that's sufficient.
No, I requested.
That she,
he
yeah.
said they're okay. You're saying they're okay at 7. I'm requesting you're, additional.
No, you said yeah,
you said additional.
Yes.
I said I supported.
Said okay.
Supported.
And,
I support
and 7 on people's yeah. self-help. To
that's
bring
what I was
to
yeah,
them.
I do support okay. Ms. Compton on that.
And Supervisor Gibson, or would, ma'am?
Well, no, my light's on regarding.
Because you wanted to talk about.
The RCD. I'd like to have just okay. a little more conversation about the RCD after you have got us going.
Thank you. And. I think we're all on the same page. What a day. So I really appreciate the support for ECHO, and just to give them a little shout out. I know the paperwork did not come in, but ECHO has changed in the last couple of years, and what once was all volunteer organization, and every month a different church would take it. They would feed and house people at a different place, different churches. They've actually been able in the last couple of years to make a purchase of a church and create a permanent homeless shelter that offers meals every night. They work really hard. They do a fantastic job. Supervisor Patterson's here in the audience as president of that organization. The volunteers are amazing. So overlooking the fact that we're going to help with the paperwork, the full amount of funding is being asked for is $35,000. And it really does provide a much-needed service for both District 1 and 5. So I'm glad you all feel that way, too. Mm-hmm. I'm in total agreement on the NOR Clinic. I don't think you get a bigger bang for the buck than the NOR Clinic.
Yeah. And Homeless Coalition.
Homeless organization is all good with me. So I think after that, Supervisor Gibson will have a little bit more to say about the
activities yeah.
that we might.
Could I follow up quickly on the North County Connection, if I could? Just one other point on that. They are that connection point where people come in and they need assistance for something. They know how to connect them to whatever organization and agency needs to be contacted. It's a pretty valuable resource, but a lot of people don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And when they call that facility or they go there, that's where they get the help. That's where they get that connection, if you will. So they do provide a pretty good service.
It's a facility for addiction and alcohol abuse where they can't go to the ECHO very easily and stay in that shelter. So it does need. Supervisor Gibson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the question of the RCDs, you know, I suppose an extra $10,000 for each one is within our means, and we do get, and our constituents get great service. I think where I was headed, and again, keep the discussion going, was go more like $5,000 for each one, and ask them to come back to us with a plan as to what are they pursuing with the USDA, how much do they need, and I would like them to seriously entertain the thought of consolidating. As you look at the division of our county into two resource conservation districts, and there used to be four or five, I think, back in the 30s, it's time for us to have one high-quality, world-class RCD. There are different issues in different parts of the county. There is a bit of overlap, because as we go now to looking at watershed-based thinking in terms of a lot of these resource issues, we have great staff in both organizations. There's a variety of reasons why this hasn't been broached, but I think the message from this board should be, we value your current service. We are open to the thought of investing more, but we want to see from you that you are operating in the most efficient manner possible. And so,
I can agree with that. But the one thing that I've often wondered why there were two. And could we ask that they provide a strategic plan that would address the issue of combining
yes.
these?
Yes.
And then, along with that, what funding would be necessary to go past where it is at this point?
What's their overall vision of the county work program? And if you know,
again, my thought would be to allocate another five to each of them with this message that we are interested in hearing back from them on this matter of consolidation and an overall county vision.
I can agree with that.
Okay, I think, well, Supervisor Hill, did you?
No, I think that's a good idea, and I'm in agreement with what everybody has said, so yeah.
So what we need now is a tentative motion to approve the budget for contributions to outside agencies and include the changes, which we can go over if we all seem to be in agreement to the changes.
So
we
moved.
Okay, a tentative motion, Supervisor.
And I'll second that. And if
I think we need
staff,
to recap.
Staff, I'll recap what I have on my list.
Yeah, I've taken notes. You want me to just roll it out and
you
all correct
me?
So I think the changes are that we include ECHO in an amount of $35,000, that we fully fund the NOR clinic, which is an additional $25,000.
Mm-hmm. $175,000.
Correct. And that we add $5,000 to each of the resource conservation districts.
20 each then for them.
That we add $10,000 to the North County Connections total. That we add $15,000 to the Cambria Connections total. That we add $8,000 to the five cities homeless organizations total. And that we add $7,000 to the people's self-help housing total.
I agree. I agree.
Okay.
That,
what does that come to?
That would be.
Is that good with everybody?
That seems good to me.
I believe it's $110,000 if the math is correct here.
45, 60, 75, 95, 120,000?
I think it's 110. 35,000.
110.
That's right. It's
okay.
five.
But
five
a question each. Then. We know that from this very pot of money, we had 50,000 unallocated. So we'll be able to knock 50 off, and we're asking for an additional 60 to come out of our
contingencies.
Service.
Correct, out of general fund contingencies.
Okay. Is that good with everybody?
Yep.
So we need a voice vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions.
Then we now need motion.
No, now we need another motion to. The second motion is going to be to continue the budget hearings to June 16th, to direct staff to prepare the 15-16 final budget resolution reflecting the changes. That one last announcement. This is your last chance to turn in a protest for the next hearing regarding the tourist marketing district. All the protests must be turned into the clerk prior to the hearing. Okay, welcome back, everyone, for item number four here on our agenda, the TMD hearing. I'll ask the clerk to introduce the item, please.
Item number four, a hearing to consider a resolution declaring the results of a majority protest proceedings establishing the San Luis Obispo County Tourism Marketing District within the County of San Luis Obispo and levy of assessments, all districts.
Very good. The County Board of Supervisors intends to establish the San Luis Obispo County Tourism Marketing District and to levy assessments. Today's public hearing is the last step in the formation process as set out in the Streets and Highway Code. The board adopted the resolution of intention on February 10, 2015, due to a procedural notification error on April 7, 2015. The board directed staff to re-notice all lodging businesses and reset the public meeting to April 21st and the public hearing to June 10, 2015 at 1:30 p.m. Today, we're holding the required public hearing to once again receive any public input and accept any protests from affected lodging businesses relating to the formation of the TMD and levy of assessment. A protest may be made orally or in writing, but to count in the determination of a majority protest against the formation of the TMD and levying of assessment, a protest must have been received by the clerk in writing prior to the start of this hearing. Before we receive public input, we'll hear from staff, and board members may ask staff any questions. So with that, we'll move into our staff report, followed by board questions.
Good afternoon. I am Nikki Schmidt of the County Administrative Office. And as Chairman Arnold said, the purpose of this hearing is for the board to consider the resolution to form a countywide tourism marketing district, or a TMD. As noted at previous board meetings on this subject, the TMD is being proposed by Visit San Luis Obispo County. The proposed assessment of 1% would be collected or paid by all lodging businesses within the county that pay transit occupancy tax, or TOT, and the assessment is collected based on paid rent charge per occupied room per night. Lodging businesses are defined as hotels, motels, bed and breakfasts, vacation rentals, and RV parks. The purpose of the TMD would be to increase room night sales for lodging businesses within the county. This would be done by marketing, sales, promotion, and advertising of the county as a tourist, meeting, and event destination. Visit SLO County estimates that $2.8 million in assessments will be collected per year. My slide is not, oh, there we go. The authority to form a tourism marketing district can be found in the Streets and Highway Codes, Division 18, the Parking and Business Improvement District sections. The TMD is proposed to be formed under the 1994 version of the section. This slide shows the steps that we have taken in the forming of the TMD, and we are currently at the final phase, the public hearing. Written protests needed to be received as of the start of the hearing today, and the figures on this slide and chart 1 and 2 differ from the ones contained in your staff report. We received 37 protests between the time the staff report was written on June 1st and when I finalized this presentation, which was at 12:15 today. Subsequently, after 12:15, we received 12 protests. Two of them turned out to be duplicates of county. Eight were from the city of Morro Bay, and three were within the county, and we are in the process of collecting that information. So the current current protest as of 12:15 this afternoon is 16.72. This chart just provides detail on the percentage of protests based percent, or 366 lodging businesses in the unincorporated area protested the formation of the TMD. The majority of these petitions, 311, were from lodging businesses located within the county's business improvement district, or the CBID's boundaries. Just as with the petition process, if there are protests by lodging businesses that will pay 50% or more of the proposed assessment, the TMD will not be formed. The management district plan was revised in February by your board to provide more detail about the makeup of the Owners Association, or the Owners Association Board of Directors. Minor updates have been made by Civitas to the plan that is before your board today for items such as date change. Appendix 1 has been updated with the most recent version of the 1994 law, and the most up-to-date lodging business addresses have been added to Appendix 2. The board may, at the conclusion of the hearing today, make any additional changes to the management district plan. However, any board change is limited to reducing the proposed assessment or boundaries, reducing, modifying, or changing the type of improvements and activities that can be funded, or minor changes that do not otherwise substantially change the proposed assessment. If the TMD is formed, the next steps for the county would be the development and board approval of the Owners Association contract. We are currently working with County Council on a draft of that contract. In addition, the county has two representatives on the TMD Board of Directors. We will be advertising for applications for the lodging business representative and we hope to bring both the Owners Association contract and Board of Directors appointments to your board for approval sometime in July. Each jurisdiction will notify the lodging businesses of the new assessments. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Any questions from the board members? I don't see any lights coming on. So we'll now have a short presentation by Visit San Luis Obispo County.
Good afternoon. Chuck Davison, President and CEO of Visit San Luis Obispo County. Appreciate the opportunity to be back in front of you today. My colleague Stacy Jacob is here as well, and she's loading the presentation, and we will get quickly underway.
Sorry, it's coming.
Thank you. All right, so a couple key points that we want to walk you through today. I want to talk a little bit about the fiscal impact that visitors have here in San Luis Obispo County, tourism and its support in the local communities, the travel trend forecast for this year, along with going forward into 2016, the overall look at destination marketing and how we plan to move forward under the new tourism marketing district, and then obviously the measurements of success as the plan rolls out. So under the first part of fiscal impact, just a reminder, this is a 1% assessment for the Tourism Marketing District used to increase countywide tourism, growing the city and county revenues from a TOT, TBID, and sales tax standpoint. So a couple high-level notifications here. From an RV park standpoint, when we look at an average daily rate in peak season of an RV park being about $75 per night, the assessment to the visitors about 75 cents. In the case of shoulder season at $45 a night, it's 45 cents. When we look at the vacation rental and the B&B average daily rate in peak season at a more luxury property of about $600 per night, we're looking at about $6 to the visitor. And more typical in the shoulder season and at a traditional vacation rental or B&B property at $160 a night, we're talking about $1.60 to the consumer. From a hotel standpoint, looking at the 2014 rates and the average that occurred over that year at $169 per night on average throughout the county during peak season, about $1.69 to the consumer, and at $109 a night in shoulder season, about $1.09 to the customer. So we're talking about a very equitable dollar amount that all rolls up, totals of a budget of about $2.8 million, which allows us to more successfully market the county holistically. We look at tourism and its support for the local communities. You may have seen the report that was issued back in May. Visit California finished their tourism study for the state of California. Here in San Luis Obispo County, direct total employment for the first time for tourism crossed over 17,000 individuals. And so this column, the annual supply, and so we expect about 110,000 additional room nights into the county this year with the additional hotels and other lodging facilities being built. And so we see a decrease of about 150 basis points in the occupancy from 2014 to 2015. That trend is expected to continue into 2016 with the additional lodging facilities that will come on late this year and into next year. So that rolled up with the growth forecast for California. The travel growth forecast for California is continuing to slow. We see in travel expenditures, international visitors, domestic visitors, and total visitors rolled up that the forecast begins to decrease. This is due mostly to the increase in competitiveness from states outside of California, our neighboring communities where individuals are beginning to travel more, along with the departure from an international standpoint. And so that, coupled with the decrease in occupancy and a very low rate on the assessment, all contribute to the fact of the need for a countywide tourism marketing district that will allow us to compete going forward. In addition to that, when we look at the growth forecast, the State of the American Traveler Destination Analysis did a study earlier this year in April in which they asked the question, which of these destinations in California are you likely to travel to in the next 3 years? You'll notice on this slide that our competitive set of Napa, Santa Barbara, Sonoma County, and Monterey County are all listed with double-digit responses. San Luis Obispo County did not even make the list. And so again, we look at this along with the coupled forecast for the next few years as another opportunity for us to increase the marketing for our county and get our fair share of consumers coming to the market, which will again drive tourism growth, but also drive taxes and assessments back into the coffers of the cities and the county. With that said, I'm going to turn over this next phase to Stacy Jacob, who's going to cover our strategic marketing overview.
Great. One of the big questions that's always asked is, once you get these dollars, how will the dollars be utilized? So over a year ago when we started this effort, we put together a five-year strategic marketing plan with two primary goals in mind at that time. One is to increase demand of the SLO County destination for all of the reasons that Chuck just mentioned. The second is to increase awareness. To increase demand, we must increase awareness so we can hit those top destination places in California. But let's drill slightly deeper on that plan and look at the three guiding objectives on how they will help us get there. The first objective to the marketing plan is to expand the San Luis Obispo County brand to accelerate the destination's competitiveness. There is a huge opportunity here to expand to new destination markets. Currently, most tourism marketing in our county is very much focused on the horseshoe effect of the drive market. We are very much a drive market destination. As our airport gets more destinations coming into it, as we look at the international guest coming through this area, how can we work together to capture those international visitors, creating additional overnight stays? How can we also look at new domestic markets that maybe currently we are not reaching with marketing dollars that are currently part of the spend? To do that, we look at our inspirational marketing mix. We call these the three C's here in San Luis Obispo County. It's the culinary, coastal, and cultural aspects of our county. It's this wonderful cornucopia of offerings that bring people here to our area day in and day out, whether it be wine, the beach, Hearst Castle, or other cultural offerings in this county. And also, one of the things that was requested at one of the previous hearings by Supervisor Gibson was to go back and work with our unique lodging mix and look at some opportunities on how together we can look at specific marketing programs and other benefits, which we're going to describe in today's presentation, on how we can all come together around this rallying point. Now, we also, in our conversations and our meetings with this group, we know that marketing may not be their driving force, but we do have a couple of examples to showcase with you of ways that we believe destination marketing can help beyond hotels and motels. For example, we've seen several campaigns on VRBO, which is listed as one of the primary sites that our vacation rentals are using to be able to book rooms. Here, this example shows how Sonoma County came together to do a destination type of promotion that goes to all VRBO on a direct email campaign. Another example for the RV parks is advertising through Good Sam. Here you see the state of Arizona, again, inspirational brand advertising specific to these channels hitting the RV, the people that are hitting the RV parks. I am happy to report that we have made some headway, in our opinion, specifically with the RV parks, and there is some language that's been drafted that, based on a total unified plan and based on particular kinds of measurements, that we can look at a fair share opportunity to ensure that certain dollars will go into these types of efforts, and we're prepared to share that with you as we get into that conversation today. The next objective as part of this plan is to move forward with that to ensure that there are representatives from each unique lodging mix, hotels, motels, RV parks, B&Bs, and vacation rentals as a whole. Then lastly, the other component of collaboration is our connection back to our elected officials and county and city staff, being the advisory committee. That will be formed as we continue in this process to ensure that we have that reporting back structure so that can be a checkpoint on our progress and chart our progress as we move forward. The final objective in the marketing plan here is to create industry-wide resources, whether that be research, education, various communication, that is backed by data specific to San Luis Obispo County. So Chuck had mentioned the numbers that we are able to get in terms of jobs from Visit California that we were able to extrapolate. There are more opportunities to buy into research data-driven components so that we can get more information on our guests coming to this area to help everybody out. That really helps us to guide a unified marketing approach for Visit San Luis Obispo County and strengthen your trade association in Visit San Luis Obispo County. I'm going to turn it back to Chuck Davison to close us out today and talk about a few other areas that we believe we can be supportive as a unified lodging mix.
Thank you, Stacy. Coming out of the last meeting, there was some conversation from Supervisor Gibson on asking us to go back and meet with the unique lodging mix and try to come to some conclusion. And through many of those conversations, we did hear, as Stacy pointed out, that marketing was not their key initiative. And so I want to walk you through a number of other items inside the plan that we really feel bring a benefit to the overall lodging community. And so the first one is this representation by a trade organization. Again, we're talking about a community that has 17,000 jobs employed in the county. Many of these individuals you see here today, many of them wearing white in solidarity for the approach for the Tourism Marketing District, some who are also here in support but not wearing white. So we really believe for an organization this big, when we talk about tourism in our county, 17,000 jobs, $1.44 billion in economic impact, that one organization can help kind of format from a trade association standpoint all of the things going on in the county and give the hospitality and tourism industry a larger voice. And so when we talk about a couple of those items, first we look at this compliance regulation and code enforcement issue, particularly around the illegal vacation rental issue. And so we see these illegal vacation rentals advertising on Airbnb and VRBO and HomeAway, and I'm sure all of you have seen the grand jury report that came out a few weeks ago that talks about the impact that this constituency is having and its effect on tourism. And so we believe that there's approximately, based on that grand jury report, we believe that there's approximately $1 million in loss in these unlicensed rentals from a local taxation and fee standpoint. And so we believe by coming together as a trade organization, we can talk holistically about this here in the county as opposed to what's happening right now, which is individuals talking about it, but not a whole lot getting done. And so we believe that we can bring some valuable assets to the table in helping curtail some of this. In addition to that, you have this unused licensed vacation rental scenario where 37% of the vacation rentals in 2013 generated no TOT. And so these are individuals who are filing for a vacation rental license, but essentially not using it. They're doing it to make sure that nobody in either their ordinance area uses it or simply to set their property aside for future valuation upon a sale. And so we believe, again, coming together as an organization with all of the lodging properties throughout the county, that we can work better with the municipalities and with the county on how to resolve some of these issues. In addition to that, we look at some developmental resources. And so at the top of our list is a crisis communication plan. And we can point to whether it was the earthquake in Napa late last year, the fires in Yosemite, or most recently the oil spill that occurred in Santa Barbara County, the need for a crisis communication plan around the lodging industry. And so when this oil spill occurred in Santa Barbara County a few weeks ago, you may be aware that essentially the communication went out that the beaches in Santa Barbara County were shut down. Had a long conversation with Kathy Janega Dykes, who is my counterpart at Visit Santa Barbara, and they really struggled in this area of making sure that they could get the "we are open for business" message out. And they've been successful in doing that, but they've been successful in doing it because they have a communication plan in place, both a communication plan that goes out to the general public, letting them know that they're open for business, but also a communication plan that goes to their constituents, keeping them up to date on what's happening with these crises that are occurring in their county. In addition to that, it's our hope to form a drought coalition team throughout the entire county. And so, obviously, you know, we've got a big issue with the drought here in our county, but also in the state of California. I was having a breakfast meeting with one of the city managers in our county a few weeks ago who told me that if the lodging industry doesn't step up as a whole and find a way to deal with this, that their city will begin imposing fines on the lodging industry for their use of water. And so we believe that this is a big opportunity for us as a countywide organization to come together with the lodging mix, not only the hoteliers, but the unique lodging mix in the county, and begin to frame together a plan about how we tackle this process. Not only if we put a new SEO program in place back in November, our numbers last month alone, our growth was 298% on our website in organic traffic. Those are findings that we can use to help cascade to individuals, constituents in the local market, and help them better use the tools that they already have in place. In addition to that, when we look at a financial partnership, there's opportunity for us to help with education on both revenue management, along with when we talk about vacation rentals. Currently, the vacation rentals that are using the online travel agencies, those groups such as Expedia and Booking.com and Priceline and companies like that, they're negotiating as an individual company. We have the ability to go as a county organization and say, if all of these vacation rentals are coming and they're contributing and using your service at Expedia or Booking.com as a channel, we need to lower their commission rate because we're bringing everybody to the table at once. So we believe these are all things in addition to the marketing program that's been laid out that help all of the lodging constituents in the community. Again, not just hotels, but all of those who would be contributing to this assessment. We look at the measurements of success. You've seen this slide before, but we talk about TOT, and we talk about TOT in the increase above the county average, and so we know that the county has successfully increased TOT on a year-over-year basis. We look at how that average will can increase versus our competitive set. And so if our competitors are increasing at 5% year-over-year until the Tourism Marketing District is established, how do we base against them going forward? From an occupancy standpoint, we look specifically at the shoulder season occupancy in the midweek business, that November to March-April period and the midweek segment of how we drive more business during those periods. We look at length of stay. We've shared with you the numbers here in Visit San Luis Obispo County, the average length of stay 1.7 nights. When we look to Monterey County, 2.5. When we look to Santa Barbara County, 2.3. We're trailing our nearest competitor in the markets that surround us by at least 50%. There's an opportunity for us to increase that as we talk to consumers who want to come to the market about the holistic view of San Luis Obispo County and all the things that there are to do here. The opportunity, obviously, is occupancy goes up for our lodging constituency to yield rate and begin to charge more as demand increases. International visitors is a big segment for us. I just returned from Orlando. International Powwow is the largest international travel trade show of the year put on by the U.S. Travel Association. 5,000 international buyers from around the world come to that show, and so Visit San Luis Obispo County was there with a number of our hotel partners and DMO partners from around the county talking about how we get more international visitors here. What we continued to hear at that meeting is that international visitors are coming to California, they're even making stops at Hertz Castle, and then they are driving through the county and not overnighting here because they're not aware of all the things that there are to do here for those consumers. We have to do a better job of educating them, and the international business is a big opportunity for us. In addition to that, obviously the sales tax, I shared with you the number of $54 million in sales tax last year alone to San Luis Obispo County holistically. As these numbers above that on this slide continue to grow, the opportunity to grow sales tax and more money into the coffers to hire police, pave roads, all those things that need to be done can happen. With that said, I am happy to answer any questions. I also want to let you know we are aware of the letter that you received late last night regarding this issue of legality. We have heard from both your counsel along with our counsel. John Lambeth from Civitas is here. You may know Civitas helped write the law in 1994. They've also authored more than 80 of these tourism marketing district plans throughout the state of California. They are here as our legal counsel to help answer any questions that come from that letter that you received last night, in addition to myself and Stacy being here to answer any questions that you have on the plan specifically.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Supervisor Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wondered if they could ask the attorney to at least briefly speak to that very issue of the legality that came up with that letter.
Supervisor Hill, Rita Neal here. We're prepared to address that issue if the board would like us to do that. We can do that now.
What I'll do is first ask you to finish up your presentation if you had anything more to say.
I'm done. I appreciate the opportunity to be back in front of you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So with that, then, I believe Supervisor Hill would like to hear from you.
Their attorney speak first. Nina Negranti, County Counsel's Office. Supervisor Compton, we have reviewed the letter from the Taxpayer Association Group, And the problem with the opinion is that it relies on an erroneous conclusion that the assessment that is going to be assessed pursuant to this district is a property-based assessment. And prior to 2003, that would have been correct, because under the 1994 Act, originally as written, it could only be a real property-based assessment. But after the 2003 amendment to the 1994 Act, it allows districts to assess benefited businesses. So because...
Council's opinion, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Of course. If there are no other questions of the board, I see I don't have any lights on. This will be the time that we go out to the public, and we have several requests to speak. So we'll begin with Ed Waggy, followed by Beth Burke, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. Ed Waggy, Pismo Beach City Council. Our council voted unanimously to move this forward, especially since it can leverage what we're already doing locally to what we can do statewide, internationally, and so on. As Chuck mentioned, this is a very competitive business. If it does not move forward, we will fall back. It's something we have to move forward on if we're going to continue the progress we've been making thus far in making tourism a key part of our local economy. So I urge you to vote yes on this resolution today, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Beth Burke, followed by Carol Nelson-Selby.
Hi. My name is Beth Burke. I'm here representing Paso Robles Vacation Rentals and Kathy Benelli, its owner. She sends her regrets that she wasn't able to be here personally today. Our company currently represents 80 licensed vacation rentals in the North County. Having been in business for 10 years, we've witnessed firsthand the huge growth in both notoriety and tourism that is occurring in our county. We support and want our supervisors to hear that we fully support the passage of the TMD being discussed today. It will surprise some people to hear this, because in the past, when the BID was being formed, Kathy was vehemently opposed to it. She thinks that with the TMD you are voting on today, its time has come. We are in the hospitality business. Fulfillment of hospitality depends on gracious hosts who provide guests with everything they need. To be able to market all the assets of San Luis Obispo County, small and grand, in a diversified yet unified marketing plan would be the best return on investment for everyone involved. Our company started because a few homeowners banded together to pool their limited marketing resources to get bigger returns. Today, together, we are capable of much better visibility. The Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance did the same thing for the wine industry. Proven results from the consolidation of wine tourism efforts have been the outcome: increased awareness through being a united front. As a resident and citizen of Paso Robles and San Luis Obispo County, Kathy takes great pride in our home. We think of it as our neighbors, as our family. We're inviting guests into our home, referring and introducing them to our friends, our hospitality family, if you will, in business, while letting them choose whose room they want to sleep in and where they want to play. In this one great big playground of natural beauty, ranches, farms, fabulous food, art, wine, and nature. Please support this TMD so the family can come to the table united in how to promote and take care of our beautiful home and eager guests. Let's embrace our guests together. If done well, no one will forget their time with the family in San Luis Obispo. The fragmented efforts of advertising are too much for a small, independent business to budget. This is an opportunity for all to benefit from a cohesive, strategic marketing plan that promotes the unified hospitality of San Luis Obispo County. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Carol Nelson-Selby, followed by Clint Pierce.
Good afternoon. I am here representing myself, but I am a board member of a nonprofit arts organization. we have wonderful nonprofit arts organizations in this county, and we make money for other people. We take no money. But we cannot really succeed unless we have arts tourism. I'd like you to just look at two places. One of them is Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the other is Ashland, Oregon. Those towns don't begin to have what we've got. They don't have transportation. We've got train, plane, highways. Neither of those has what we have in terms of accessibility. We have the talent of the people to our north, the talent of the people to our south. But what we don't have is the money to market ourselves effectively. I mean, when you think about it, you could market every season an art season in San Luis Obispo County. You can come for opera season. You can come for mosaic season. You can come for international film festival season. We can't do that. We just cannot market as broadly as this needs to happen. It needs to be done internationally. People who go to operas in
to attract those folks. The problem is they're using all of their dollars to attract people to their city, not to the region. They can't market the whole region. There's no one here to do that. And so that's what these dollars are going to go for. That's a critical piece of marketing our area to help all of us. And all the idea of hospitality being inclusionary. You know, over the last few years, there's been a lot more communication. There's been a lot more working together between the different tourism folks in our region. But there's still no one there to knit this all together. That's what the TMD is going to do. And with their marketing subcommittee bringing all of these stakeholders together and hearing what they need to market their specific type of property, that's what's going to happen here. My own experience and from what I've seen in the San Luis Obispo T-Bid is there's huge return on investment. We can move the needle, but it'll only happen if we spend the dollars in marketing and we have a good plan like what you see laid out here today. It'll help all of us. In fact, it'll help the smaller properties almost disproportionately more than the large properties because many of them don't have a marketing budget. So I urge you to please support the TMD as you see it. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony Spinetta, followed by Lori Keller.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Tony Spinelli, and I own Beach Bum Holiday Rentals and Management in Pismo Beach. I oppose the creation of another assessment imposed on the visitors that come to our community. As one who has worked successfully in the hotel-motel business since 1973 and currently for the past 12 years in the vacation rental business, I feel I have some knowledge of what creates a successful business, which is hard work, dedication, and branding yourself. I firmly believe the success of my business has not come from the assessment that some hotel and motel owners deem to be necessary to shoulder on the backs of the tourists. For the county to impose another 1% TMD along with the current 2% CBID, along with the 9% bed tax, I feel it's pretty steep. What gave the figureheads in the tourist industry the right to ask local government to add assessments to promote our businesses? Though through my promotions in SEOs, pay-per-clicks, and keeping our website up to date, my business in the month of May has increased 48% over last year, and in the month of April, 45%. Now, I attribute some of that to lower gas prices and great weather. But it's true the promotion of that generated the increased revenues for my business. The expectation of the county to impose more assessments to promote one's business to me is wrong. I'm surprised that the local wineries, golf courses, restaurants, bars, grocery stores, car dealerships, etc., aren't in here asking the county for money to promote their business. Some of you would say this will help them as well. It's the self-promotion of those business owners that incites the tourists to this community. I feel the local wineries, golf courses, special events like Pismo Beach Car Show, Sabre Central Coast, Amgen, Cal Poly graduation, and other events gives the exposure that puts the heads in beds without putting the extra financial burden on the tourism, whom we hope will spend their money in all of our businesses once they arrive in this beautiful community. In closing, the ability for this county to raise their bed tax in the future is diminishing through these assessments, as we have not reached the Disneyland status where their bed tax is 14%. Thank you.
Thank you. Lori Keller, followed by Brian Talley.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Board of Supervisors. I appreciate you letting me speak today. My name is Lori Keller, and I am from Martin Resorts. I wanted to address some of the remarks that have been made recently from constituents stating that their business is doing well and that any further marketing efforts are just not necessary. Now, I have no doubt that looking at their own revenues over the past few years, they see an uptick. Just about every business in this county has seen improvement as the economy continues to recover from the Great Recession. The question is that recovery as strong as it could be? And more importantly, have we positioned ourselves to weather another downturn? And there will be one. To answer the question about our recovery, I looked high and low for data benchmarking the occupancy and average daily rate for all the lodging partners in this county. Unfortunately, I could only find data for hotels. Smith Travel Research, an international firm who benchmarks performance for more than 50,000 hotels worldwide, provides us with regular data comparing individual hotel performance to the local market, as well as comparing San Luis Obispo County to the overall Central Coast region, which is defined as Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara counties. Upon review of the data, it clearly demonstrates that our county still underperforms the average future success for us all. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Talley, followed by Susan Lyon.
Madam Chair and members of the board, thank you for having us here today. I am a member of the wine industry. In fact, I'm the president now of our local vintners association, the San Luis Obispo Wine Country Alliance. And this would be a wonderful benefit for the wine industry. We have amazing natural resources here in San Luis Obispo County. We make world-class wines. Unfortunately, we lack the financial resources individually to really get our message out about how special San Luis Obispo County is. And, you know, a comment was made earlier about the responsibility that each of us as business owners have to promote our businesses. Believe me, I'm very, very active in that effort. I've been working on it for 30 years. But we need a more cohesive effort. We need more resources. And I think that the tourism marketing district concept is exactly the way to do it. And I hope that you endorse that effort today. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan Lyon, followed by Carolyn Stewart Snow.
Good afternoon. Susan Lyon from Cottontail Creek Ranch, Cayucas. I'm going to repeat a lot of stuff you've heard, but I'm an independent small lodging owner and operator in the unincorporated area of the county. I'm here once again to protest the formation of the TMD as presented. The small lodging operators have requested and demanded to be shown special benefit to our business as mandated by the ordinance. This request has gone unfulfilled. Without this, vacation rentals and B&B should be excluded from the strong-armed assessment. I believe that the need for business improvement districts in impoverished and needy cities around the world is what the legislation was intended for. But to assess to advertise an area that is so saturated with current advertising locally, north, south, and then you add the free editorial, which is much more effective anyways, this becomes plain and simple a money grab for the big hotels. And what I hear from today is that the hotels need more business than we're asking for. So let it be a hotel-driven ordinance. That's fine. The only special benefits I've been told, one was I was told that I would get spillover benefit. And that would be by, there would be the global marketing. We would show all the wonderful places we have in the county. Well, that seems so wrong because that kind of advertising strategy will result in crowded places for the multitude of tourists and the county residents to wonder, how do we get here? The second benefit I was told was that a small lodging advocacy group was told by Visit Slo County that our special benefit would be advertising on VRBO, HomeAway, and the others. Well, sorry again, we already do this. I'm as full as I can be, and those ads aren't going to have effect on me because it's not going to bring any more business because I can't accommodate it. We have been told that in the past, especially at the last meeting, that we've come in on the 11th hour. And, you know, that's just not right. We arrived on time at the designated place, and we were here promptly. We were not included in the planning because we weren't big enough. So there's hotels again. We helped the CBID get in by working with them, and my husband rewrote that ordinance so they could have something and we could be excluded. And a thank you would have been nice last hearing from that. So after listening to that, I think this is hotel-driven. Please exclude the vacation rentals and the B&Bs, and I would really ask the county to prepare an EIR as how this is going to affect us, water, infrastructure, lifestyle. And with the money that you already collect from TOT, get all the cities and everybody to contribute to Visit Slo County with the money they already receive. Thank you.
Thank you. Carolyn Stewart Snow, followed by Jennifer Porter.
Hello. I'm Carolyn Stewart Snow. My husband and I own and operate a 3-room B&B in the county of Paso Robles. We have no employees. It's just the two of us. We've been doing this business for 15 years. I can appreciate that there's going to be an impact on big hotels because there's so many of them being built in North County. I feel like this is a crisis that was self-created, and we're being imposed upon to help solve the problem that was, you know, make a problem and then create a solution. I think Visit Slo came in, and they're going to be the solution to this problem that was created by big business. I'm not a part of big business. If you look around, I'm off-white. I'm not wearing white. That's not my community. I can appreciate that it works for them. It's something that they want to do. Go do it. We're not imposing any restriction on anybody else, but we're being grossly imposed upon. There has been no outreach to us. We outreach to Visit Slo County. There was an impasse. There was just no negotiation. I strongly feel there's a holdover from the law. After they heard that this was a done deal, they've already got their 50+1%, still sent in a letter of protest in the county. That says something. We didn't get a vote. You don't get a vote. You could be in support of this, or you could wait until February. When I called and talked to Nikki, when I got this letter, I said, what do I do? How do I oppose this? Well, you have to wait till February, and then you can send in your letter of opposition. No mention of the hearing that you guys heard. That's why none of us were here. She was on the task force for a good 2 years. That's a conflict. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer Porter, followed by Brianne Messer.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Porter. I'm the executive director of the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance and a current board member of Visit San Luis Obispo County. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today to discuss this important topic. On behalf of the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance Board of Directors, I'm here today in support of the proposed tourism marketing district. As you know, tourism is critical to the county as well as the wine industry, with Paso's 200+ wineries heavily reliant on direct-to-consumer sales. As the county is currently grossly outspent in marketing by our neighbors to the north and the south, Monterey and Santa Barbara, this tourism marketing district would provide sustainable funding model and allow us to be far more competitive in attracting tourism to the county. As I often say, we have an amazing destination, but no one can plan their trip here when they've never heard of San Luis Obispo County. Trust me, 4 years ago, I was that person. The Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance is fully supportive of Chuck and Stacy's vision and are committed to continued partnership and participation on the marketing committee. Please vote in support of the Tourism Marketing District for the benefit of the county, the tourism partners, and the wine industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Brianne Messer, followed by James Prang.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Supervisors. My name is Brianne Messer, and I currently work as a reservationist for a typical vacation rental agency in Cayucas. I'm asking that you carve out vacation rentals from this proposed TMD, and we'll be touching on reservations today. Our office takes over 1,000 reservations a year, and we spend on average 20 minutes per reservation, which is normal in our industry. I know for a fact that if I have to explain what one more tax or assessment is and the reason behind it, I will be spending an additional 3 to 5 minutes on each reservation, which, when the math is done, I'll be spending an additional 66 hours a year discussing and mostly listening to why people don't like to be taxed. especially when they find out they are putting their hard-earned money into a fund that will help bring other people to potentially take their spot or increase the nightly rate that they are currently accustomed to. This will be a hard sell to our 48% repeat clientele. It's not as easy as you say to just pass the 1% on. Our average stay in the summer is a $3,000 bill. And when you add 1%, it's $30 year after year after year. Also, I've been instructed by my boss that if the TMD does pass, to refer all questions about this tax and any additional taxes to the tax collector's office so it can be their burden to explain, or refer them to the TMD agency and then they can use their manpower to explain the special benefit. I see this as a burden to our vacation rental industry and don't see how more businesses will be generated, as we are already at a 5.4 average day stay. Please carve vacation rentals out of the proposed TMD. Thank you.
James Prang, followed by Charlene Rosales.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Supervisors. My name is James Prang. I'm a manager at Cayucas Vacation Rentals. I'm asking that you guys carve out the vacation rentals from the proposed TMD. The topic I'm mainly touching on is the burden to us. We have the 9%, we have the 2% CBIN, that's just another percent we're adding on. We do have a 48 repeat clientele. They already know the area. They've been coming for some 20 plus years. They don't need to know about the area. The TMD in general sounds like a great idea. All the wineries are in for it. I would be too if I could get free advertising. The hotels, motels, that's great. But us as vacation rentals, we have a major ordinance that burdens us tremendously. If I have a new owner come in and wants to rent their property out, I can't even get another bed to put a head in. We're already at an average of 5.4 nights per stay. I would love to put more heads in beds, but I can't do it from the vacation rental ordinance. So I just ask that you guys take all that into consideration and you guys carve out vacation rentals from the TMD. Thank you.
Charlene Rosales, followed by Julie Tacker.
Good afternoon, Chair Arnold, Supervisors. I'm Charlene Rosales, Director of Governmental Affairs.
Julie Tacker, followed by Kim Eady.
Good afternoon. I am Julie Tacker. I live in Los Osos, and I'm watching this very closely. Chuck brought up the grand jury report, and I've read that very thoroughly. What he highlighted for you was an anomaly that I see where vacation rental permit holders may choose not to use their permit and maybe not do a business to maybe protect themselves from other vacation rentals moving in around them. What the grand jury report focused on was the illegal vacation rental and the inability of the county to use code enforcement on those properties. So I find that sort of a red herring in his presentation, and that the TMD does nothing for code enforcement. That this money will go nowhere near your planning department and your police forces. I know you guys. I follow what you do all day long every Tuesday. And on this issue, I'm looking at you three, my three go-to people who say no new taxes. And I will not understand how you can support a new tax. That's the bottom line. It is a new tax. What I have also heard you say, you three, is you're anti-government, you're anti-regulation. This is big business imposing on small business. Small business, the vacation rentals and the B&Bs and the RV parks have written to you, they've spoken to you, they've made their case. They're being dragged along by the hotel interests. And very simply, you have been asked to carve them out. Let them Let the big hotels do what they're going to do. Let them tax their patrons. But the vacation rental bed and breakfast and RV parks have asked to be carved out, and I think their case is well made, and I think you could support that and do that very well today. The white shirts, I feel like I'm at a campaign rally, and that's not what, it's not neighborly, and I feel like it's very supportive of Mr. Hill, and I think that's inappropriate today.
Thank you. Kim Eady, followed by Dean Hutton.
Hi, I'm Tim Eady, Cambria Shores Inn, small 25-room property. I've been against a lot of the increase in taxes. The beginning was you had the VCB in place, you yanked their funding, you turn around, you increase the taxes 2%, now you want to do it again. You had a structure in place. We have to deal with budgets. So I'm saying that you should work with what you have. If you want to make this work, take the 2% that you've taken from us, that we give to you, that we negotiate on every single day we make a sale. People don't want to pay any more for the rooms. Another 1% is just another slap in the face to us, the owners, while we're sitting here writing those checks to you each month. We keep negotiating to make this thing work. The hotels.com, the Expedia booking, we pay all these commissions. You guys are going to be able to bring us more people. They're still going to be involved. So in my opinion, you got 2%. Take that 2% and make it work. Use a budget. Trim it down. Make it grow over the years. But don't increase the taxes anymore. Our expenses have gone up, just skyrocketing. We're just trying to get through this recession. I call it a small depression. So that's my 2 cents. Thank you.
Dean Hutton, followed by Richard Lawhard.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Board of Supervisors. My name is Dean Hutton. I'm the general manager at the Apple Farm here in San Luis Obispo, as well as a TBID board member for 6 years. And I am in full support of the TMD for the county and the additional marketing efforts that we do need in this county to succeed and to grow. And plain and simple, I'm wearing a white shirt. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Richard Lawhead, followed by Charles Yates, please.
Madam Chair, fellow board members, my name is Richard Lawhead. I'm representing Dolphin Bay as the owner.
It's my pleasure to do so in support of the TMD. She has written, I've been an owner and operator of the Shoreline Inn for 34 years, and our small lodging business, consisting of 29 rooms, has grown substantially over the past 10 years. I attribute some of the growth to the countywide marketing endeavors provided by Visit San Luis Obispo County, formerly the VCB. Advantages and benefits for all lodging constituents include website presence under the category of lodging with their specific location, price, type of lodging, the ability to post special on the websites and promotions to be included in a large-scale promotion, county information, including the activities and being on the calendar of events, being on the website, the visitor guide, and being part of trade shows, promoting the county as a whole destination, being part of eBlast with information, updates, and opportunities to promote your own business within that organization. Small businesses, including vacation rentals, B&Bs, and RV parks, can join in those promotions. The assets and tools that help with each business marketing plan. Be part of the group. Learn and grow and come to the table. The collaborative opportunities that are there are amazing. And county representation as an entire group with the voice of tourism. A few examples afforded through Visit San Luis Obispo have included the ability to advertise in countywide co-op stories included in United Airways magazine and special promotions through Sunset magazine, Savor the Central Coast. The Shoreline Inn has already sold out during the Savor the Central Coast due to this collaborative event, this countywide event. Vacation rentals, which have a strong presence in the county, There are several owners that oppose the TMD. If vacation rentals were to be excluded from paying the assessment, how fair would that be to the small four-bedroom, four-room motels and the two-room motels in Morro Bay? In Cayucas, there are 10 motels and three B&Bs totaling 185 rooms. In Cayucas, there are 114 vacation rentals totaling 309 rooms. This doesn't include the illegal vacation rentals, so we really don't have a handle on that. The vacation rental industry has a huge opportunity to participate and have representation through the formation of the TMD and beyond the board of directors. Mainly in closing, I just want to say we all support this, and we want it to be an inclusive TMD. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Terrence Concannon, followed by Tony LaGraff.
Terrence Concannon with the Dolphin Bay Resort and Spa. And Madam Chair and Council Members, thank you for allowing me to speak. I can't say anything more eloquently than Chuck has already said. You saw the numbers, and numbers don't lie. A couple things I do want to point out is the Dolphin Bay has taken a leadership role when it comes to international marketing. I do, in fact, hire a consultant to go to China because we know, Rick and I understand how important that market is and how important that market will continue to be for us. That costs me several thousands of dollars every time I send that gentleman over. Does he bring business back? Yes. But I only have so many of those thousands of dollars. I need help. I need the help of the marketing arm of Visit Slo County, and I need them to be able to have the resources to do that. In closing, I also want to point out that while it may be convenient to demonize the large hotels, those large hotels are simply structures, and those structures house people that work. And when I come into work every day at the Dolphin Bay, I see happy faces. They're happy to come into work. They're happy to have these jobs that pay them well. And they're happy to, as I am, to impart knowledge and to make people aware of our great county and our great city of Pismo Beach. And that brings us joy every day, knowing that people from all over the world are now coming here, and that those people are going to go away from this area feeling better about our area, feeling better about themselves because they've had this great vacation, and talking about this area to all of their friends. I think that's as important as the marketing dollars we spend. So I do urge you to pass this ordinance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tony LaGrasse, followed by Skip Brownwell.
Hi, I'm Tony LaGraw with Beachside Rentals, and I am opposed to including vacation rentals into the TMD. I'm not as opposed to the TMD overall, but I believe there are a lot of limitations and issues with vacation rentals that, as much as Visit Slo would like to help us, I can't see them fighting the ordinance or using their funds to solve the problems that we face every single day. My main objection is that it is a forced assessment rather than a voluntary membership in a trade association. I'm concerned about that. The cities and the county of San Luis did not conduct an independent outside study to determine the real need for a TMD or the specific. The CBID, even after operating for a few years, is unable to provide TOT data by unique lodging category. So we can't even track whether or not it's helping the individual categories of businesses, which are clearly unique in their natures. For the vacation rentals, we would have to now be charging 3%, the 2% CBID plus the 1% TMD, which amounts to about $60 per reservation for guests who already know about us and who have been coming. 50% of our guests are return guests. So I say, please do not include vacation rentals in this until these problems are fixed. Thank you.
Thank you. Skip Brownell, followed by Mark Eads.
Good afternoon. My name is Skip Brownell. My wife and I have a vacation rental, and we are opposed to this. I don't think the tenants should pay more money. Our occupancy is over 65-75% during the year, and I just do not see a benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Eads, to be followed by Mike Menchek.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Supervisors. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you today. My name is Mark Eads. I'm the General Manager of the Sea Venture Beach Hotel and also the President of the Pismo Beach Hospitality Association. And we were first, Visit Slo County first came to our organization January of last year, which, by the way, PBHA is made up of 28 members, hospitality members, made up of hotels, RV parks, and vacation rentals. And when they first approached us about the TMD, one of the main concerns was how are you going to be inclusive to all lodging organizations? And Stacy's response and continued response helped us to determine that they were going to be inclusive. And with that said, the PBHA did vote. We all support unanimously the creation of the TMD. And I'm here today to ask you that to support that as well. There's been a lot of great comments that have been stated today that I fully support, and I do hope again that you you vote affirmative for this. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mike Manchek, followed by Effie McDermott.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, and Madam Chair. Thank you for having me speak. I won't repeat necessarily what others have said, but as an organization that watches over the entire county economy for economic development, I'm very, very concerned if something like this doesn't pass. As we know, tourism has a massive impact on our county's economy. It touches everyone, whether or not you like tourism. It touches us. It pays for all of these critical services for which we all need, whether we're working or whether we're not. The county endorsed an economic strategy for which that strategy and its members support the TMD. And back in 2008, the EBC actually commissioned an expert to do a tourism study to figure out why are we behind, if you will, with our tourism industry. And it was very, very clear. This expert said, you have to do what others are doing because it works in other places, which is to have a TMD. So I'm not a tourism expert, and I'm not an economist, but this I know. We talk, twice people have mentioned a recession. You know, again, not being an economist, but this is what happens. Every 10 years, a recession comes along. This means we've got about 3 years on a countdown until our next recession. I believe we have a window of opportunity here to get this thing passed, to get this thing dialed in, and to help everyone, and really raise the tide for everyone. So with that, I just want to applaud Chuck and Stacy. We're very honest, hardworking, and ethical people. I've worked with them, and I recognize the effort they put into this. But this has been endorsed by the tourism study. Has been endorsed by the economic strategy and 38 EBC board members. Please support the TMD. Thank you.
Thank you. Effie McDermott, followed by Mark Walton, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Effie McDermott, and I am a vacation rental owner in Pismo Beach, and I am in favor of the TMD. The reason I'm in favor of it is because I would like to be able to increase my occupancy and raise my rates. I pay the bills, and if we make money, I make that money. If we don't make much, then I don't make much. I'm looking forward to a more robust business. This, in my opinion, is a better approach than the former way that the VCB was handled, wherein I had to pay them several hundred dollars a year out of my own pocket to be a member. This way, I'm collecting this tax from the guests, and it's not actually out of my pocket. So I appreciate that idea. I have discussed this with almost everybody I have booked for the summer because I don't know when this is going to take effect. So I tell people, I'm absolutely nobody. I am like 0.4% of nothing, you know. So, they have some great ideas. They're all about putting heads in the beds and getting people to walk down the street. And when they walk down the street, they see my sign. And they call me. So it is really true that the rising tide does float all boats. And so I would like to be on the rising tide and raise my rates, pay more taxes, and make more money. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Walton, followed by Cindy Walton.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Supervisors. My name is Mark Walton. I'm a part owner of a vacation rental agency in Cayucas and Morro Bay and a licensed vacation rental owner in Cayucas. I'm requesting that you carve out the vacation rentals from the proposed tourism marketing district. In its current form, the TMD is unconstitutional under California Constitution and other state laws under Streets and Highways Code. Special benefit has not been demonstrated to vacation rentals or their property owners. Only a plan or goal has been offered, which again, according to the law, is not sufficient to meet the constitutional requirements. Each assessed property must have a detailed report that demonstrates special benefit derived from the tourism marketing district. One question we have is why not carve out vacation rentals out of this proposed tourism marketing district when clearly quite a few are opposed? Vacation rentals make up a very small percentage, about 10% or less of the available beds, as we call it, in the districts. Let us out and let the big hotels in. Which brings me to the subject of the bigger picture. This has the appearance of being pure politics. And why? The bulk of the hotels that this will benefit are located in the 3rd District. There are over 2,000 rooms in the 3rd District out of the 9,700 available in the county. This begs the question, is this being done to satisfy voters or interests in the district? I'm not sure, but Mr. Hill, I think you're up for re-election soon. So please carve out vacation rentals out of the proposed tourism marketing district. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Cindy Walton, followed by Jeff Edwards.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Supervisors. My name is Cindy Walton, owner of a vacation rental management company in Cayucas and Morro Bay, 28 years of experience in vacation rental industry in this county. I also own a licensed vacation rental home in Cayucas. And I also sit on the local CBID, the local chapter in Cayucas. And I'm requesting vacation rentals be carved out of the proposed TMD. And I'm just going to touch lightly on the lack of special benefit for vacation rentals. It is still unclear to me and a lot of other vacation rental agencies and people what benefits vacation rentals will receive. Upon meeting with Chuck and Stacy, it appears they want to brand the county as a unique lodging mix. And in my opinion, vacation rentals are being used. There's been plenty of opportunities to sell us on this special benefit, and all I've heard is they have a plan and a goal, and they want us to help them do their job to be successful at coming up with the benefit for the vacation rental homes. Advertising on VRBO is going to be a detriment to us because of the ordinances. You've all heard that. I won't belabor that. Also, the vacation rentals make up a very small percentage of the proposed TMD budget. So why not carve us out? They talk about it being a very small percentage. Well, we're a small percentage. So just carve us out. I'm respectfully requesting that Supervisor Gibson put the motion, carve out vacation rentals, B&Bs, and RVs back on the floor as he did at one of the prior board meetings, because the majority of the vacation rentals are in his district and a large amount of us are opposed. So please carve out vacation rentals, B&Bs, and RV parks, and let the TMB pass for the other lodging properties. Thank you very much.
Jeff Edwards, followed by Dr. Serena Friedman, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I'm here today representing North Coast Residential Vacation Rental Management Companies. On behalf of hundreds of small businesses, I respectfully request your board exclude residential vacation rentals and B&Bs from the TMD. Government Code Section 53758C places the burden of proof on the TMD proponents, including this county, to demonstrate a specific benefit for those being assessed or charged. In spite of the recent changes, June 1st, I think you heard Civitas made changes to the marketing district plan, teamed up with Visit Slow County, and knowing that 15 hotels could outvote 1,000 small businesses, they proceeded with promises of increased hotel occupancy, higher bed tax, and all at no cost to the county or the cities. Voila! Deal's done. It's a good one. or so it seems. My clients wish the hotels all the best with this, and they simply don't want to be included. That's it. I have a letter that I presented dated June 9th, and it lays out all the details of why this that there is a support for a decision in that regard. The benefits from inclusion in the TMD cannot be general, indirect, collateral, tangential, spillover, or spinoff. They have to be specific. And your board's received lots of correspondence, 28 letters and emails opposed this, 2 supported it. You've heard about the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association letter. While this is a business-based assessment, it still has to demonstrate a special benefit for assessees. So in closing, I'll just ask your board to do as requested, and that's carve out the vacation rentals and B&Bs. Thanks.
Thank you. Dr. Serena Friedman, she is, followed by Amanda Diefender, please.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I am here to protest the proposal as presented. As a San Miguel owner of a vacation rental and the Four Sisters Ranch wine tasting room, I think that the concept is good and I support it, but I am adamantly opposed to a compulsory assessment as a mechanism. Guess what happened when I asked people touring our facility as potential renters what they thought? I quoted them my price. Then I said, oh, well, add a 9% bed tax to that. And then I said, oh, now you probably have to add 1% for marketing, so that comes to 10% extra. Well, all I heard was an unhappy response uniformly. What are you trying to be, another San Francisco with its horrendous hotel tax? They said one of the reasons they come to the Paso Robles San Miguel area is its affordability. And actually, 2 prospective renters did not give me a deposit. They said now they have to think about it. Do you really want to kill the golden goose? There is an alternative. Let us, without a new tax, organize our own marketing efforts. If you want, you could provide us with available meeting space and an email list. Obviously, less bureaucratic costs, less government interference. Let us use local non-government basic American private enterprise to organize this. No tax. We can spend our money better than you can. Let us privately coordinate our efforts to market the region. And here's an example. In San Miguel, as part of the Pleasant Valley Wine Trail, we did a Taste of Tuscany where we paired food and wine. We had a very, very, very small budget for advertising. Nevertheless, we had 69 people in our wine tasting room that day. So imagine if we could pool our resources, what a great job we could do without government interference and taxes. So in conclusion, an increase in nightly rates is just an increase in the total tax is just stupid. No new tax, no bureaucratic overlay. Just let's have a cooperative effort. You organize it. You're the county. You can do it. And we'll take the lead, and we'll do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Amanda Diefenderfer, followed by Aaron Down.
Good afternoon, Chair Arnold and supervisors. I'm Amanda Diefenderfer, and I have the pleasure in this community of wearing many hats, some of those which include Destination Manager of Travel Paso Robles Alliance and the Destination Manager of the Tascadero T-Bid. But more importantly, I want to bring to your attention, we've had a lot of talk about big business and small business. I'm a small business owner that has become a successful business and been able to hire my first employee and been able to grow because of the tourism industry. This industry needs to grow to support many other businesses, large and small, throughout this county. The TMD is a terrific opportunity to do that. I've worked closely with Stacy and Chuck. I've worked closely with their team in both of my roles with the Tascadero and with Paso Robles and in many other roles that I serve for other clients. The collaborative approach that they've taken to this really does benefit all, and I really do know from many years of working with them that they're going to continue to look at how they can benefit all of their constituents. I just want to come forth in front of all of you and urge you to support a united front that is so indicative of the spirit of this community and a united front that shows tourism as a whole and support the growth of it for our community.
Thank you. Aaron Down, followed by Andy Hamm.
Good afternoon. My name is Andy Hamp, and I'm representing myself as well as the RV parks in Morro Bay. After the last Board of Supervisors meeting, we were encouraged to reach out and double up efforts to see if we can come to a consensus, and both sides did that. And you're aware of that, and we also appreciate Chuck's effort. He's probably gone as far as he can go based on the latest proposal he sent to us this morning for review. When we reached out, we had thought we could negotiate a minimum percentage for RV park market funding, increasing if and when proprietary RV park data becomes available. We also thought we could agree on that contribution before June 10th. However, because of a multitude of issues, this is no longer possible. Whether the TMD can determine RV-specific marketing funding will be dependent on whether data for each of the lodging types becomes available. For RV parks, this is doubtful because of issues concerning proprietary data, and I don't know how hard it will be to get the data for the other lodging types. We don't know if these issues can be solved. It's iffy. Chuck would say we have to have faith that they will be. There are a host of things that need to happen to ensure that the numbers come together, not all of these under Visits Loco's control. In any case, the RV parks would have to continue their vigilance to move the process forward, especially as the 3.2 million marketing machine starts up and has to address the needs of the 1,000 heads and beds businesses. This brings us to another issue that has become more important and more apparent through the process, especially over the last weeks as we've been talking to you. The 8 assessed parks did not have critical mass. No other lodging type has this problem. We might not either if the 26 exempt RV parks were included. Lack of critical mass means a small TMD contribution. When we started talking with Chuck, a back of the envelope suggested 5%. Well, actual data shows we're much less than that. We're maybe at 3% contribution. Lack of critical mass is why there are proprietary data issues. Lack of critical mass is why we'll have a manpower to challenge to participate on TMD boards and committees to ensure our funding and our programs keep going. And I'm going to go through the 8 parks that we have. It comes down to the nitty-gritty. 2 in Pismo are membership parks. They have their own business model. They do their own thing, have very small overnighter business. Pismo Coast Village, you probably know about. Their bench has some depth. But with Jay as a board member, his staff can't participate on committees, according to my understanding. In Morro Bay, none of us has the resources to participate. Doug, who some of you met from Morro Dunes, he's not here today because he's tied into day-to-day operations moving customer trailers in the city, broke his water pipe as part of the Morro Creek project, bridge project. Another owner farms during the week, and another manager, she's also a caregiver by running the park, and she called me this morning to say she's in Sierra Vista with her hospital. I myself work at Hearst Castle, have requested leave 4 times, including today, to exempt the parks for this project. And I wanted to refrain to get into personal details because I know life happens for everybody, but with only a few parks, probability is against us. And then when all is said and done, the 26 exempt parks, who will not pay into the assessment, as you know, they will benefit from all the county branding the TMD will do. You know, Doug from Morro Dunes, he told me again this morning, he said, there's 7 parks around us, they're not going to benefit.
Thank you.
So after much work, we conferred this morning and asked the County Board of Supervisors to exempt the RV parks, that is, look at either exempting all the parks, make the TMD assessment optional for parks, or just exempting the Morro Bay parks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hamp. Patricia Bennett, followed by Marjorie Ott.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. My name is Patricia Bennett. My husband and I own a licensed vacation rental in Atascadero, and I protest the establishment of the TMD as proposed. I'm asking you either to abandon what I consider an ill-conceived program or let it be voluntary membership for everyone. Not mandatory for all lodging businesses, as stated by Mr. Davison in correspondence sent by him to various opponents of the TMD, including me, but voluntary just for everyone else who benefits. So, including wineries, restaurants, and destination sites. Those are the sites that are excluded, and they're benefiting, and we're paying for it, small lodging. I kept reading that the TMD is meant to create a unified effort and avoid redundancy, but it fails. During the same week that Mr. Sneed, a reporter for the Tribune, wrote about the TMD in the Tribune, he also wrote about a separate tourism district being established in a Tescadero, that they're going to hire somebody at a salary in excess of $100,000. So there goes the idea of a unified effort. And I don't know, you know, other places might have the same. At a May 28th meeting that we requested, and my husband and I attended, it was empty rhetoric. We had asked for the special benefit that would be coming to a small business, to a small lodging business like ours. And what we received was two pages. The first page was just saying what they wanted, just what they had. They were disingenuous as far as the people that were there. There was one B&B owner who said that he has a small B&B owner, and yet he has an inn, he has a winery, he has a vineyard. And that was the person that was one of the people supporting to be in opposition to us. We had a lack of opportunity to participate in the two-year planning, and when we asked about that, we were told that it was before Mr. Davison's time. So I went to an advisory committee at council in Santa Margarita, and afterward, just very quickly, afterward, a very prominent businessman and developer in the area said that he thought a marketing plan would be good, if there was one, but he felt that there was no vision, and he also was afraid that the money collected would be spent on junk. Those were his words, and I asked him if I could use his words, and he said yes.
Thank you, Ms. Bennett.
Thank you.
Marjorie Ott, followed by Mike Hatch.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair and Board of Supervisors. I am a co-owner of a small bed and breakfast in Cambria. I do not have the financial resources or time to do the type of branding or promotion that the TMD will be able to do. I think it's extremely important that it be totally inclusive of all of the lodgings in this county. All will benefit. And I've heard comments about this is for the big boys. I'm a small owner. I know I will probably get a disproportionate benefit more than the big, because they can, Dolphin Bay, send someone to China. I can't send someone to China. But the TMD will be able to do a much broader outreach than I will ever be able to do. So as a small B&B, do not exclude us. Make it inclusive. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Hatchett, followed by, I think this is Shirley Lyons.
Good afternoon, Supervisors. I know we've been here quite a few times before, and we've heard pretty much the same facts and stuff that we've had in the past. I'm just here to remind you that representing a property in San Simeon, that 8 out of 9 properties in San Simeon supported this, and many of them actually made the drive down today and are out in the audience from that standpoint. So I'd ask you again, from that region, we're all in accord. We want to move forward with this. We want the tools that our competitors to the north and south of us have. Factually speaking, we've heard numerous times today people say that we're doing well. Well, our county is not. We're doing well, but we are not doing as well as our competitors. We aren't keeping up. We haven't historically. And as Mike Manchek alluded to, part of that is because we don't have the tools in place. You know the history. We tried to do this once before. It fractured. Here's our chance to get it right and really be able to compete. So I would encourage you that you think about that when you do this, and that we think about it in an inclusive manner. I don't know about you. I skipped a lot of classes when I was younger. But when I got to college, I made every one of Econ 101. And one of the days that just keeps coming back to my head was a topic on free riding. And that's not meant to insult anybody. That's actually a term in economics. Flip open the page. I can't tell you anymore. But what that says is somebody that gets the benefit doesn't pay and contribute. And by excluding these groups, that's what we're setting up. We already have it in our CBID, and by doing that again, you're now going to put us at odds. You're going to give us a 3% pricing differential. It's not necessarily appropriate in this case. When we increase demand for our county, it will benefit all. The last hearing, that was brought up by the supervisors. Many of you alluded to the fact it's pretty hard to have a finding that they won't benefit and to exclude them. I, again, ask you to go back to that. On a personal note, we're very fortunate. I have as much occupancy as I want, but I'm still here asking for this, and there's numerous reasons why. And I'm asking you to kind of extrapolate this to those that keep saying, I've got more than I need now. There's numerous benefits to that. First is the next recession is coming, even if we aren't already currently in one. It is coming. We need to get prepared and have these tools in place. And second, again, if you went to Econ 101 and you didn't skip any of the classes, when you have more demand, you can increase price when you have a fixed supply. So those that say,
I'm already full, I don't want any more, I won't get a benefit. That's false. They have the opportunity with increased demand to increase their rate, make more profit, make more tax, pay their employees better if they take advantage of the increased demand. Again, I find it hard to believe that we're going to increase demand into the county and everybody's not going to benefit. So we ask that you support this and move this forward so we can get over this very divisive process we're in. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, there we go.
Hi, my name is Shirley Lyon, and I live in Cayucas. I've been in business there for 35 years. I own the Sea Lion Beach Rental Management Company. At the time that this all started, I actually sent out emails to all of our owners, and I gave them all the information that was available and asked them if they wished to protest it, would they please get in touch with me. And I only had four owners do so, to do for some time, and that's to bring more tourism to this county and bring it in well. And so anyway, from that standpoint, I would like to support it, and I would hope that you would all vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you. John Carcel, followed by Jay Jamison.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is John Carcel. I'm the president of the Cayucas Advisory Council, and I'm speaking in that capacity right now. I did send a letter to you on June 4th based upon the meeting that we had on June 3rd, where we had a presentation on this for the first time. In that, we did make a recommendation to your board, which was, quote, we recommend opposing the additional financial assessment of the Tourism Marketing District, but if the Board of Supervisors is in favor of the Tourism Marketing District, vacation rentals and bed and breakfast establishments located in the CBID area should be excluded from that district. And we went through some of the reasons in that letter. They've all been looking through your board materials. I see where you have all that material and you have that information. It is an additional tax that's being levied, I don't care how you phrase it, on a majority vote against people who don't want it levied against them. And I think this board needs to take that into consideration. And also the different nature of the businesses. That tourist serving is tourist serving. What I just heard from the last speaker sounds like we ought to have an assessment against all the residents of the county because this benefits everybody here. In other words, if that's the case, then we're doing this the wrong way. Why are we assessing only the hotels, vacation rentals, bed and breakfasts, and the RV parks? Maybe we should be doing it to everybody. I'm surprised that more of the advisory councils haven't weighed in on this and given you some opinions from people who are not in the lodging industry. I'm not. And by the way, my white shirt is what I wear every day. It has nothing to do with anything regarding this meeting. It's something that I would think your advisory councils should have weighed in on this a long time ago and given you some advice from some of the people who are not involved directly into it once they find out about it. This is one of those areas where for people who are involved in it, they read the articles in the newspaper, they know what's going on. For the rest of us, we look at it and say, yeah, and skip it because there isn't enough time to read that one. And that's what happened to us. And all of a sudden, we got the presentation to us in May, and I put it on the June agenda, and I thought we had a very well-balanced presentation. It was a 10-2 vote to at least exclude the vacation rentals and the bed and breakfasts that are located in the CBID area, which already has the 2% assessment. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jay Jamison?
Good afternoon. My name is Jay Jamison. I'm the general manager of Pismo Coast Village RV Resort in Pismo Beach. And thank you again for letting me be in front of you. You know, Andy and I are great friends. We go way back, and he's right about a lot of things. It stresses me also the fact that we only have a portion of the RV parks in the county represented. That's been something that's actually bothered me for a long time. It's coming down right now basically to about six parks that have voted, three against, three in favor. And I think that it's unfortunate that it's really coming down to the philosophy of what the TMD can do for the RV park community. And, you know, I look at it a little bit differently, probably a little bit more globally. We have more of a transient demographics more than maybe some others. We don't have any long-term stays at our facility. We are not membership. And so maybe we look at things different. It's the same way that Wine Country up in Paso Robles would look at it. And I talked to her this morning just to see where she was standing, and she's still standing with her vote in favor of the TMD. I think a lot of it's just coming down to trust. And I've worked with Chuck and Stacy and, you know, seen his effort to try to convince Morro Bay RV Parks that he really is looking out in their benefit and within the constraints of the TMD, being able to give the RV park industry some attention. I believe that that's something that we can do. Manning the committees and the board position, I think that's something we can work on down the road. But, you know, I still want to encourage the Board of Supervisors to support the TMD as is. I think that it benefits all of us. You know, we're promoting all the activities and amenities that this county has to offer, and I think that that's really what it's about. It's getting people here. The other part of getting them to come to our own facilities and so forth, we can deal with that a lot on our own, but I think that we all, whether we're going to admit it or not, we all benefit.
We've heard a lot about this, and I've heard a lot about it, and I want to frame a approach forward here that I hope colleagues will consider. I'm not, will be interested to see what colleagues' opinions are on this, but I think there's a way we can discuss this. Framing the whole thing is realizing that this board is being asked whether to impose a self-generated assessment on an industry that is deserving of the chance to put itself forward. It is an extremely important part of this county's economy. The board's role here is not to conduct this activity, not to conduct the promotion of tourism, but rather to act as a fiscal agent and to make a decision which, as Mr. Carcel from the Cayucas Advisory Council pointed out, would impose this on unwilling participants. So I take this very, very seriously. I support the formation of a tourism marketing district. I think it's an important step forward for the tourist economy in this county. I think that it is happening from the right quarters, which is that the industry is working to assess itself. And this industry has had significant differences of opinion on how to move forward going forward. So I support, I completely support the concept, but I think it's important after listening to everybody involved to explore a couple of adjustments and do that in a couple of different ways. So regarding the question of vacation rentals, bed and breakfast, RV parks, first let me let you know that I have good friends, and I know there are a whole bunch of good people on both sides of this issue, and believe me, I've heard an earful of very passionate opinions from both sides of this. And I respect their differing opinions. Reasonable people can disagree on how to move forward here. I wish you all could have been at the Cayuga Citizens Advisory Council last Wednesday, where all these differing opinions were put forward in one of the most civil and, I think, interesting discussions of this issue that I've seen in a long time. You heard the result. So I have heard a lot from my constituents in the 2nd District, which is heavily populated by vacation rentals. I should think we probably have more than two-thirds of the vacation rentals in the county are in the 2nd District on the North Coast. We have a slight majority of the RV parks, and I don't know about bed and breakfasts, but I do know there's a wide variety of opinion within the bed and breakfast community, including ones that are directly across the street from one another in the town of Cambridge. So, driven by those opinions that I've heard over such an amount of time, I want to propose to colleagues the exclusion of at least a couple of these three. And what I'd like to do is see if we can get either consensus or take a straw vote on whether the TMD should be modified moving forward, and then see where we are in terms of the TMD at a point that we are asked to vote. I'll take the RV parks first. As I look at the data presented in the staff report, there's unanimity of the RV parks within my districts, five of them, all based in Morro Bay, that they oppose this. They point out that there are 8 RV parks in the county that would be paying into this and 26 RV parks in the county that would not be paying into this. And one of the principles put forward in the management plan is that the benefit has to be conferred only to those entities that pay for this and not conferred on those entities that aren't paying for this. And so I just can't quite see how that works. If we include the 8 RV parks to pay into this and RV parks are promoted, I don't see how the non-paying RV parks, which include at least 1, maybe 2 that the county runs and a couple, 3 or 4 that the state runs, would not benefit from that. So just in terms of a sheer conflict of question within the management plan, I would like to propose that we exclude RV parks. And I don't know, Madam Chair, colleagues, whether you want to consider each of these separately or as a whole, but moving on to vacation rentals are a unique type of lodging business, and I have been involved in considering their issues for many, many years. A number of the folks who came forward to speak in favor of excluding vacation rentals are folks that I have had literally hours of conversation with over the course of almost my entire life. I think that they do have a point that speaks in favor of their exclusion from this TMD, and I'd like to offer that thought to colleagues and see what they think. The one argument that comes up, I was sitting here, I hope I can find this, my notes here. I was trying to think, you know, the questions of whether it's fair to exclude them or fair to include them, and boy, you can go back and forth on the pros and cons of this. But the one that really comes up most often is a question of fairness, and Mr. Hanchett put the label on it. He certainly went to enough econ classes that he got the term that I was searching for, which is free riding, and that is, would if they were excluded from this, would that convey some unfair advantage to them? Would they gather some benefit? And I don't know. The thought that the rising tide lifts all boats is a powerful image. But, again, based on their specific situation, I'm not sure that they necessarily would. I don't see them taking market share from motels. It's a different clientele. They have a very high repeat business from families that are in there year after year after year. And then I thought, well, there are other entities within the tourism industry that could be considered as free riding on a TMD, should it be formed, and I hope it is. And that would be restaurants and shops and arts organizations and wineries and golf courses. So there are a number of other entities that will benefit from a TMD's establishment that won't get assessed. And I have great respect for a number of entities that spoke, chambers of commerce and wine organizations. And I understand their support, and I get it, but they are also entities that would not be directly assessed on this. So the last entities are bed and breakfasts. I'm not so sure about that. Bed and breakfasts come in all sizes. I know bed and breakfasts in my direct experience where I have people on one side of it or on another side of it, they tend to be small operations. I guess I'm a little bit less certain as to what I want to do there. But I would like to indicate to my colleagues my interest in excluding RV parks and vacation rentals from the TMD ordinance, and I'll yield the floor.
Okay. You know, I think most of the folks here would just want to make their comments before we do any kind of straw vote. So I'll go to Supervisor Hill.
Well, I'd like to speak to Mr. Gibson's reasoning. The way that assessments are structured in this state, there's always probably everywhere, there's always unwilling participants, meaning you can find school taxes and you can find a group of people who didn't vote for those because they don't have kids in the schools or they had kids in the schools and they don't want to support them anymore. we don't let them say, well, we get to carve ourselves out, because we believe that for the greater community good, it's good for us to have strong schools. So I don't see the, you know, I mean, the streets and highway code sort of sets up this. This is not us. We're, as you point out, we're the sort of pass-through for this thing. We make a decision, and then there's a fiscal agency, but this isn't our doing. Again, we've spoken about this in previous meetings. The big picture is where the benefits come from. And as much as people, I'm sorry that there's divisiveness. I have friends on both sides. You know, Mr. Carcel laid out the points from the Cayugas Advisory, and I have great regard for Mr. Carcel and all those folks, and others as well. And I've also heard from people in my district who are vacation rental owners and hotel owners and RV owners. And the better that people do, the more revenue comes in the county, and the benefits that. You know, somebody pointed out who opposes the TMD that, you know, we have all these special events, and that's how it is that we keep people coming back. Well, disproportionately, at least in my experience, the special events are often paid for by the bigger operators. For instance, we wouldn't do Amgen over the last few years in the South County if it weren't for the hoteliers that paid for the bid and provided the hotel rooms and paid for a lot of other things. I mentioned before that they paid for, they contributed a large amount of money for the Pismo Preserve, which will help. They help all these different events that people brought up, from the film festival to the, to the Savor the Central Coast, the Festival Mosaic. These are things that the big hoteliers and even some of the people that you mentioned, wineries, et cetera, that put in a lot of their own money and rooms and gifts and so forth so that these special events can continue to be special. And if bigger, you know, just on the economics thing, if the bigger operators make more money and more money comes into the county, we have more money to do the things that we like to do for everybody that lives here and everybody who visits here, whether that be trails, open space, parks, all those things that we enjoy are the same things that visitors enjoy. And I know it's easy if people have two rooms to say, well, I can't imagine why it is that anything that's done, a bed and breakfast or a hotel. And most visitors, including us, anywhere else, probably stay in all those things at different times, you know, whatever suits your family's purpose. I don't make a distinction based on this, because I think that wherever you go and whatever place you choose to stay in, that suits your family or what it is, you're going to the place because of what the place has to offer. And I think that when we work together, we have a much better way to offer all the things that we care about. So I don't see that people are, they're unwilling participants in the same way that everybody's an unwilling participant to anything that they don't want to pay for. That's why almost all of these things are votes.
Sure.
You know, and there's and here we have a vote system. It's not our creation, but it allows people to overturn it with a 50 plus 1. We have 17.2. I understand the way it's structured, but you can make the same argument that, well, any, you know, people who vote for anything in the majority are obviously, you know, supportive of something that, that makes them somehow have an unfair advantage. I don't see that. I think that if we move forward with this, then as is together, we have an opportunity for, I think there's a lot of dissatisfaction may be based on the past, and I don't really, you know, I'm not in the industry. I don't really know what that may be about, but this is about the future. I think that we're better together working this way. I think that the industry's better together, and if it doesn't work out, you know, I really don't see that, you know, I mean, what is this, a five-year renewal, essentially? So I really, you know, I don't see where there's some terrible injury that would be inflicted upon any operators if for some reason business doesn't increase as we hope. I think business will most likely increase. I don't see how it's going to hurt anybody specifically. So, my sense is all along, I think this is the best way forward, and I would support the TMD as is, levying the assessment number, basically number 3 and 4 in the recommendations. I think that's, you know, we have a five-year opportunity. If in 5 years there has been nothing to show for the increase, then that's something that can be addressed then. I've never quite understood why there's so much tension. I think we can kind of relieve some of the tension by moving this forward and promoting the place. So that's my thoughts. And I yield.
Supervisor Meacham.
Thank you. Well, unlike Supervisor Gibson, I don't have any friends on either side. I have no friends.
You don't have friends, period, or on either side?
You may have today.
After today, I may have even less, if there's any at all. And, you know, the issue that I've asked a lot of the folks that in the B&Bs, the vacation rentals, and the RV parks, if you were to be a part of this, would you give up the marketing that you do currently? And the answer was absolutely not. They would have to continue along that line. So they already do their marketing. And it seems to me like maybe they'd get a double whammy out of this. I don't know. But they already do it. The comment about all boats rise together with a rising tide, that's true. They do. And some tip over. And I'd hate to see that happen to some that maybe do not support this. I would support Supervisor Gibson's recommendation on this. Now, on the B&Bs, there has to be some distinction about the number of rooms, I would think, and then you go from there. But at this particular point, I have no disagreement with establishing a TMD for those that want to do it. I think that it would be a good thing to do. But those that are already doing a marketing, those are already seeing success with what they do, I have a hard time seeing that they're going to gain an additional benefit by that. So I'll be much briefer than my colleagues.
Not hard.
Supervisor Compton.
I'll be in the middle. How about that? So I, too, support the overall concept of the TMD, and I was went back and read the EBC report that Mike talked about earlier when he got up and spoke, but this goes back to 2008, and a couple of the key comments, if you look at the executive summary that come out, well, again, the tourism tonight was indicated at $1.44 billion. This shows it a little bit lower than that back in 2008, but the key things that lead me to make a decision are that the average spent per night available in San Luis Obispo County was $211. Santa Barbara County spends approximately $287, and Monterey spends $456 per available room. So we're getting outspent. When you look at when the study was done and what the key issues were after their analysis, two things that stuck out in my mind after reading this were the single most important area of concern may be tourism promotion, which has created significant intra-county competition. This report specifically identifies steps to improve the overall tourism promotion efforts by, one, uniting the county, and, two, focusing competitive efforts on areas outside the county. So the average night stays were significantly lacking, and we're not in other industries. This is very common. In the beef industry, there's a beef checkoff. In the pork industry, there's a pork checkoff. And they've proven to be successful, and they've been put forward by people in that industry that said, how do we differentiate ourselves? What do we do to brand our industry? And it's a self-assessment. And I think the thing that we're getting caught up with today is we're not making this decision on whether to do this or not. This is the industry that came to us and said, we want this. They voted themselves. And, yes, you can make the argument that there are groups that are smaller that are underrepresented, but it's still the same percentage vote that they have. And they voted overwhelmingly. I do think that there is a legitimate argument to be made by the RV parks, in that it's a little different for them because there's so many that aren't being assessed anything. However, when you look at those that voted for it and those that protested it, it's about the same. And I disagree a little bit in that people are forced to participate. I mean, if an overall customer does not like the 1%, they don't have to come to the county and stay. And if people are disclosing it over the phone and they don't want to do it, if that 1% really bothers them, they can choose to go to a different county. But when you look at the other counties that implement this, it's been overwhelmingly successful. So, again, those are kind of the things that I look at. I kind of like Supervisor Hill's comment about a property tax and the schools, and I've always complained about that too, you know, but people are dragged in with certain assessments and certain taxes, but this is not one, in my mind, that's mandatory if people don't want to come here, and it's also one that is passed on to the consumer. There were a couple comments made about the TOT and use that, and it's my understanding that the TOT goes directly into the county's general fund except for a small portion for the Visitors Conference Center Bureau. So that's really not money that could be just flipped and used for anything else. Those are my thoughts anyway. I do think, you know, other industries benefit. I think it's hard when you start pulling people out. While I do think that they have some legitimate complaints, I just think it's they are getting a benefit, and, you know, then you get into a slippery slope of pulling people out. So those are my concerns.
Okay. I wanted to make a few comments. I was impressed by Visit Slope County and the different facets of the industry trying to work together. I heard some things that I thought were beneficial. At least it was a good start, and moving towards recognizing this is a diverse industry, and clearly you all have different needs and different ways of marketing, different clientele that come and visit your businesses. But some of the things that jumped out to me that one was a possible savings on commissions with some of the online Expedia and those kinds of things that some of you use to market. Another was the fact that an entity like a TMD would and could act and work as a lobbyist for the array of issues that you all face as business owners that will be coming and going in the next 5 years if this should come to fruition. So those are the kinds of things talking about the RVs and trying to decide if there could be special benefits, particularly since that the RV parks are split. Some would be fall under this umbrella and some would not. Even having the lobbyists to deal with some of that and lobby for kind of putting them on an even keel playing field would be, I would think, beneficial. I agree that trying to fraction out the different parts of the industry, bed and breakfasts and how they differ from vacation rentals, and et cetera, I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. But, you know, tourism is really become more of a key part of the local economy here, countywide. This TMD is trying to market as a region. There's a benefit to that and just economy of scale. The vacation rentals, especially what I've heard in the last couple of months that we've been researching this more, is that so many of them, they don't need more marketing, they don't want more marketing, and they're happy with the size of their business where it is. So I did hear that, and I want the folks to know that I did hear that. Something that interested me, more business, more jobs. That's just countywide. More businesses, more jobs. And it is, of course, it's some of the bigger businesses that are employing more people. But that did matter to me. Another thing that matters to me is the fact that this is a cost that is being put onto the tourists and not onto the businesses themselves and not there's no regulation involved with this. So that being said, when I hear some of the vacation wrecks, $1 million on a Bob Jones Trail, $1 million on Pismo Preserve, especially for that tourism region, knowing that would be something that would be very visitor service friendly.
Million and a half.
We're about to go into some big spending on the airport to try to make this region more accessible. We just passed today $100,000 just a tourism infrastructure grant program, and that's a grant made available for little things, benches and streetlights and sidewalks and fixing things that in the tourist-serving regions. The PAC, we just made a big one-time donation to the PAC, understanding that that is a visitor service serving amenity that brings people into the region to use the restaurants and hotels and come and stay, and then also a ongoing commitment to the History Museum that fits in with the mission, that kind of tells the story of our county, that next to the art facility there to try to be visitor-friendly downtown here. So all of those things in total added up just this one year and this one cycle into things that we couldn't afford without the increase in the TOT coming our way. So to wrap it up for me, I think that this, again, Supervisor Compton said, the industry came to us. They want this support. They want to be able to do this, and I do believe that it will be a benefit to everyone in the county. So with that, what we would be looking for is...
I got a motion, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Hill.
Yeah. Well, just to show how much I believe that we're stronger when we work together, I'm going to utterly agree with Supervisors Compton and Chair Arnold. And
historical moment. Do we have this on video?
Move on to the Middle East.
Yeah, let's
back up here.
Do we have to hug?
The water.
Yes.
Whatever you want.
Yes, we have to hug. I'm going to support the recommended action because we have conducted more than one hearing to hear this and to receive the protest, and we have certified, I guess, and do we need to do so again with the clerk that a majority does not, protest does not exist? Should we do so again just to, before I get to motion 3 and 4?
Yeah, Rita Neal, County Council. We will need to do that, and we also might have a suggestion if the board is inclined to pass the resolution. That includes the B&Bs, the vacation rentals, and the RV parks. We might want to add some language to the findings on that.
Okay. So, do you want me to make a tentative motion? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, I'm going to make a tentative motion that we do approve the recommended actions, which do include all of the assessed properties, all the lodging business properties, and that we approve the management district plan. And then we will add the necessary language as council provides. So that's my motion.
I'll second it.
Under discussion, Madam Chair?
Yes. Are we to hear the language, or is that?
Yeah. We'll go ahead and read the language.
Okay. Then we'll understand what the motion is in full.
Nina Negrante, County Council's Office. Supervisors, you have in front of you the proposed resolution. So on Section 5... currently it reads, assessments levied on lodging businesses pursuant to this resolution shall be levied on the basis of benefit. Because the services provided are intended to increase room rentals, an assessment based on room rentals is the best measure of benefit. And our suggested addition to that would be a sentence stating, the board specifically finds that all assessed lodging businesses, including vacation rentals, bed and breakfast establishments, and RV parks, shall benefit from the services provided by the TMD.
And I'd like to ask a quick question of council. During the Visit San Luis County presentation, there was some discussion of some new language regarding RV parks. I thought that's what you were going to tell us. Is that something that we've seen, or... Did I mishear that during the testimony?
I believe that was with regard to the proposed marketing and not with regard to the resolution.
So as the motion maker, I would include that language in the resolution.
Second. Under discussion, Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would love to debate political philosophy with Supervisor Hill, but I'm sure I would face a motion to be quiet from my other colleagues fairly quickly. As regards the business of imposing an assessment, Council, correct me if I'm wrong, that we can offer up changes to the management plan, as we did in one of the previous hearings here.
Nina Negrante, County Council's Office. Yes, that's correct, Chair.
And so if I could direct my colleagues' attention to Section 5 of the management plan, that is in the in our agenda, that's page 23 of our consolidated agenda, and marked within the management plan, it's page 7 of 102. it lays out the annual service plan. So in there it says that the privileges and services provided by the San Luis County Tourist Marketing District funds are sales, marketing, advertising, and promotional programs available only to assessed businesses. One of the things that the proponents, Visit SLO, came before us today and said that they would be providing specific services to vacation rentals and RV parks. In the matter of RV parks, they mentioned specific customized advertising that speaks to RV parks. And I would like to see language about that put into the management plan. As you go below that heading of Section 5 and into the advertising and promotion, there's a number of bullet points outlining some of the specifics. So I think that's in terms of doing what we can to protect and advance the interests of minority members or minority voters here, I think that would be an important bullet point to add, that there will be under advertising and promotions, that there would be advertising and promotions that are specific to the unique mix of lodging industries here, and specifically to the vacation rentals, because I know this is a particular thorn in their side, is the matter of compliance, and that among the eligible activities of the TMD would be funds to work on compliance with county regulation. And so should we need to take a five-minute break to craft language, and we can talk to the proponents as to whether that's acceptable. Those were the only, those comments made by the proponents' Visit SLO on this were the one thing that did occur to me could be a benefit to existing vacation rentals would be to go after unlicensed illegal vacation rentals and bring them into compliance. So if colleagues are amenable to those changes, let me finish this comment with just saying I have great respect for, again, folks in the vacation rental industry that I've known for a long time and spoken to for many hours. Please know that I will advocate for the strongest possible representation within the board of this TMD, which appears poised to pass, as long as we get this language in there that is specific to those interests. And I could call it.
As the motion maker, I'm agreeable to that added language and would certainly propose, if council needs a break, to craft the language and come back on that, if the second concurs.
Yes. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes. I need help with the process here. Do we need to ask the Visit SLO if they're willing to work?
No, that's right.
They seem to be.
They are nodding. They're nodding.
So it would help if it appears that this is the direction the board is going to go with the amended motion. Before you vote on a final motion, it would be helpful if we could take a break, work on some language, so that the board and the public can see the actual language to the amended plan.
Okay, will 4:15 work for you all? Would that be enough time? We'll be back at 4:15. Okay, we're back, and we'll ask staff for an update on.
Okay, Reed and Neal County Council, we have a little bit of cleanup to do. First of all, I'm going to turn it over to Nikki Schmidt. We have some updated numbers with regard to the protests, those that she identified that came in before the hearing started, but after lunch, and so.
Absolutely. We did hear back from Morro Bay with their percentage, and the percentage protest is 17.65. Mm-hmm. So that is all the protests that we've received have been counted.
Thank you.
Okay, and now we have some language to add to the management plan, and then after that, we just want to make sure we are clear on the motion. So I'll have Ms. Negranti read the proposed language for the management plan.
So on page 7 of 102 of the proposed management plan, at the top of the page.
Aren't paying anything in? Could we say specific to those RV parks that are paying in, so when the promotions, we can name those RV parks specifically so the others don't get the benefit of it? Can we do that? Is everybody, would people be comfortable with that or not?
We're not. Oh, there is the phrase assessed
property.
So it's, we're covered.
Or
right.
Assessed business. Okay. Not properties, assessed businesses.
So the ones that aren't paying into it will not get any, there won't be anything directed to them. We can make it specific.
All the marketing will and activities will only be directed to assessed businesses, okay. Which are the businesses that pay TOT.
Perfect. Thank you.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, the amended language, I think is good.
And then they had a page 8 addition. Did we get to that?
Yeah, we just did the one that would identify the...
license.
Yeah.
Right. Those address the concerns I had. During the break, we did get one question raised by a number of different, particularly vacation rental businesses, which has to do with contracts that are paid in full. Council advises that that's an auditor, controller, tax collector, public administrator kind of question. And since you're here, Mr. Erb, and haven't had a chance to participate, I guess people were asking about the effective date of this ordinance, or my thought was, let me ask you. Right now, the effective date of this ordinance would be July 1st?
Correct.
And that's when... So
that's when the assessment would start.
On stays. Could there be a provision under a vested rights that someone who shows evidence of a contract paid in full could be exempted from paying the extra 1%?
I guess I would have to defer to county council, but I don't see why not.
Okay. So on the basis...
I apologize. We do have concerns about that in that if the levy... begins on July 1st, even if it's been prepaid, it's collected by the auditor after July 1st, and I'm not sure how we would carve out, and I don't know how many are out there, I don't know how we would carve out those that have prepaid.
Right, and it would have to be for a specific period of time. It couldn't go on.
So for 60 days, one operator is indicating they're on a 60-day prepaid business. If we said... for the first 60 days upon presentation of evidence of a contract paid in full under the old system, that that particular contract, that particular stay would be exempted from the extra 1%?
I guess if they could show evidence
okay.
of that. Sure.
So that's really an administrative thing from your side.
Right.
And I through the chair, would invite Visit Slow to come to the microphone if you want to speak.
Yeah, thank you.
I would just reference you to page 8 of the plan. The fourth point listed under assessments, item C, states stays pursuant to contracts executed prior to July 1st, 2015 are not responsible for the assessment. So this is actually already identified. What you're asking for is already identified in the plan. We've communicated that to the vacation rentals and B&Bs during the break as well. So any contract that's signed, whether it's a hotel, motel, vacation rental, bed and breakfast, signed prior to the implementation date of the plan, effective July 1st, is not responsible to go back and collect that assessment for those entities.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Davidson.
All right. With that, I would call for the question.
Okay. Everyone satisfied that the changes they were seeking have been...
I'm satisfied, and I appreciate the accommodation.
Just quickly, I will.
Supervisor Meacham.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm glad you caught that last thing about identifying the three different entities and paying attention to them with the changes. I mean, you can count the boats. You see where this is going to go. So I'll support where this is headed.
It looks like we have one more attorney.
Madam Chair, excuse the interruption.
Don't
we just noticed
out of the sale, Chief.
You stated your name for the record.
I'm sorry, John Lambeth here on behalf of Civitas and Visit Slow. We just noticed that section that was just quoted actually states in the version January 1. That should state July 1. So if we could, for the final version, also update that to a July 1 date. Thank you.
And For my reference, could we get to that specific spot? I did not see that. This is page 8 of the management plan?
The pagination on this document is a little different. I believe it's page 9
there we go.
Document.
There we go.
Under assessment, item
section,
C4.
Section C.
Number 4.
I see.
Okay, so that's been duly noted. Has everyone had time to make that adjustment?
Rita Neal, County Council. In order to make this real clear, I think we should add language to the resolution because currently Section 11 indicates that the assessment is going to be levied commencing July 1st. Okay, so if we're ready to vote, I want to make sure and clarify the motion. As I understand the motion, we don't have a majority protest, so you're going to adopt the resolution establishing the San Luis Obispo County Tourism Marketing District as amended. You're going to levy the assessment on all lodging businesses that pay transient occupancy tax within the boundaries of the County of San Luis Obispo in the amount of 1%, and I would add to that, with the exception of those that have already paid prior to July 1st, 2015, and then you will approve the management district plan as amended. And is that the motion, Supervisor Hill?
That sounds so much like it.
Yes. Second's good. I believe we are actually ready for a roll call vote when the clerk's ready.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Compton?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
And Ms. Arnold?
Yes. We'll adjourn this meeting, and our next meeting will be here Tuesday, June 16th, 9 a.m. Thank you.